Proper Sport at 6. You won't miss a minute, whether they matter or not.
Fire it, he's going to dummy, he's going to
win! Yes!
Curry's over the line. No, he isn't. He's lost the ball.
It's off. Time-setting.
He's off.
He's gone.
Go on, Johnson.
This is the home of full match commentary. This is Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire.
He's back. The most expensive T-boy in rugby league is back in Blighty, and he's back in the studio. Gary Schofield looking as slim as ever, having a slurp on his tea. Good to see he hasn't lost all his radio manners. The legend is back. They've been clamouring for you. Some of them for you to come back, some of them for you not to come back.
A bit harsh, Mr. Wilson,
legend,
a bit harsh.
Have you missed us?
No, not one little moment. I've had six brilliant weeks in Australia from there, and I must admit, boys, I've got to admit, you know what I'm like. I'm honest and truthful. I haven't missed you one little second, but would be for sure. It's great to be back from 30 degrees heat to -2, -3. Great to see you, boys. Great to see you.
Very good, very good. We'll hear more from the legend. I want to thank everyone, by the way, who downloaded last week's show, because despite the fact, Phil, that the legend wasn't here...
Despite or perhaps in spite of...
Well, possibly. I'll let the listeners decide. Record numbers downloaded the podcast last week. Our rant and my telling off from my dad went down quite well. Are you ready for round two?
Oh, what was the rant about then? What are you ranting about?
Have I lost the mantle now? Yeah, your team, your place on the team is, shall we say, it's rather like Josh Hodgson's. People can see what you do, but, you know, if we're looking at his best team score, you might not be in it, son.
Second season syndrome he's got.
Second season syndrome, maybe.
It's nice to see you.
It's a bit harsh. It's a bit harsh, boys.
Thanks for all the presents. He was laden coming up the stairs. He was.
And also, thanks for actually having some clothes on, because all I've seen of you in the last 6 weeks is pictures of you in your Primarni shorts. You don't look great. It's time to get some clothes.
Mate, listen, there's a calendar coming out. There's a calendar coming out from the pitch.
Yeah. We have had one order. Yeah,
there's a calendar coming out for Christmas, so get the orders in.
It's from a young mother who was desperate to keep the kid away from the fire, so that's one you've
sold. Seriously, you've had all the pictures. There's a calendar coming out from there's January right up till December. I'll tell you what, it'll be a bestseller. It'll be an absolute bestseller over Christmas. Get the orders in.
Yeah. Richard, are you in mourning? News breaking, well, rumour breaking tonight. John Key is going to be the new Bradford Bulls coach.
Why? That's the first question. I want to make two things clear at the start of this programme.
Yes.
I was not cycling away from Kirkstall yesterday. I can't ride a bike. And B, I've got
the fire out, don't
we? It is. I mean, we joke about this, but we're apparently high on the list of suspects. Yeah.
And B, I am not Alan Booth of Hull, but I agree with everything you said in the paper tonight.
Yes. Further on to our discussion last week.
My name's different when I write to the League Express.
I have to say, that letter that Alan wrote to the League Express regarding the coverage that we discussed in depth last week, I have to say, Richard, I am saying you are Alan Booth of Hull, because it was very similar to what you were saying last week.
You know who I am when I write to the League Express.
No, you don't say that. People won't trust you anymore. Are you sorry that John Kerr is moving on?
Well,
we believe he is. We've not had anyone tell us he's not.
There's a press conference tomorrow at Bradford, isn't it? It could be anyone.
Yeah.
It could be Jeff Toovey, the return of. He seemed to have struck up a good partnership there with Chris Cheston. It was probably beneficial for both that both were there. But maybe he thinks he can save the fated Bradford Bulls, who, remember, are only 1 year old.
Yeah. Yeah, they are indeed. What do you make of that news then, legend?
Surprising. Very surprising, because, as I say, the mess what the Bulls in, I'm not so sure if they get themselves out of that mess, Mike, to be honest with you. I don't know what the news has been since I've been away for the last 6 weeks, but the way that Wakefield are progressing, and I say the job, the relationship between Keir, Michael Carter and Chester seems to be pretty good. So, surprising. Obviously, there's something gone on behind closed doors.
Does he just want to be the main man?
Well, yeah, maybe so. Yeah. And I say, John, you know, he's he's been a successful coach, and maybe playing second fiddle or not having the responsibility of the team itself throughout the week and on game day. He likes that challenge. But I tell you what, boy, oh boy, it's a challenge taken on that mess at the Bradford Bulls, isn't it?
But you can't lose, can you? Because if you're starting at the absolute bottom, the only way you can take them is up. I think the interesting thing is the recruitment's done at Wakefield for this year. Probably isn't going to be much change even next year, because I think they've now got a settled squad. They know where they're going. They've got some good kids coming through. Chris Chester's got a year under his belt with John sort of at his side as a bit of a mentor role. Maybe he's ready to take it on his own as well. So it probably works for all parties, but John can't resist the challenge.
And tell you what, though,
to get the tracksuit on.
Yeah, but Phil, it's a challenge there at the Bulls,
well,
isn't it?
Well, it's a good year to do it, though, isn't it? Because there's no Toronto, there's no Toulouse. I know, you know.
Oh, Toulouse will be in Super League by February.
Well,
they're playing
Toronto
at the Magic Weekend,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. The both of them will be in before we know it. Huh? But I think if you're going to take Bradford, you know, you've got York in the first game. That'll be a benchmark, because I think York will be good this year. But there's no reason why Bradford can't have a good season. The League One isn't full of full-time teams anymore. So,
and I say my definition of from a coach's point of view is, a coach is all as good as his players. You know, players make coaches. Coaches don't make players. Players make coaches. So I think it's shown in the World Cup regarding the players what he had at his disposal at Wales. Will John Key have the sort of quality of players to get where he wants to get?
He's got Dane Chisholm, who probably will be the best player in League One in a pivotal.
Can I ask a question about the whole Bradford Bulls? We weren't intending to come on and talk to them tonight, but as the listeners know by now, and by the way, if you want to get in touch at @radio_Yorkshire or via the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page, if you are listening along at home, please do like and share. And I do mean Richard and I and Phil and the legend as well. Record numbers last week. We're really proud of that. Serious numbers on the old podcast, so you can download that. We'll send out the link later on as well. Weren't intending to talk about Bradford. It was pretty obvious that Jeff Tovey, once his visa arrived, was keen to get out of Bradford because he made it be clear he wanted time to think about his position. I read that he was basically waiting for someone to offer him a better job. He's opted not to come back. I can't understand why, once Bradford knew he was thinking about not coming back, why has it taken until it'll be December the 12th tomorrow to announce a new coach? They're in pre-season, and the players are signed. Now, John Keir, with the best will in the world, might have signed a whole different group of players. I don't understand, Phil, why it's taken so long.
And interestingly, he wasn't in the frame, was he? Because we heard a couple of names that were, and it looked as though that was on the verge of being announced and didn't happen for whatever reason. So you would ask the question, who has been doing the recruiting and whose advice have they been taking?
Yeah.
What we don't know is if John has been in mind for more than would appear to be the last couple of days, whether he has had any input. But I think he's got a quality of player there that he'll happily work with. Lee Smith, again, you know, but kind of player that if he plays up to his potential, he's too good for League One. So I think he'll be quite happy with the squad that he's got. He'll be happy with the ambition of the club. I think behind all of this, and no doubt it'll lead into Toulouse playing Toronto at Magic Weekend, is what is happening in the sport. Now, are we moving towards a position where franchising is more and more inevitable? Are Bradford seen as being part of that, if not immediately, but moving towards that? In which case, again, the resource will be made available to bring them up to speed and hasten them up the ranks. And I think if John's seen that, or if he's been assured of that, or if he can see that that might be the route that the sport is going down, it might be a good ship to be on for him.
Well, I'll tell you what then, if you mentioned here with the Bulls, you're talking about the franchise, isn't there a certain criteria where you've got to meet, you know?
Yeah, you've got to have a good ground, so they've got that.
They've got what?
When did you last go to Wadsall?
They've got what, Phil?
Iconic.
When did he last go to Wadsall?
Iconic. An RFL home ground.
You know, with the franchise again, you know, but still, when you talk about that, you look at the ambition of what they're showing, you know, a little bit maybe Halifax, London and Feversham. Why should Bradford Bulls, with a mess what they have got themselves in, be given, you know, treatment what they don't deserve to?
Because people think that you stick a winning team in at Bradford and 10,000 people minimum turn up. I'm not sure that's the case anymore. But
that's not guaranteed they're going to be a winning side.
No.
Is it?
I think the people that are looking for city-based teams that have crowd potential and investment potential would earmark Bradford. and the days of 25,000 at Oddsall for a big game has been something that they would try and aspire to get back to. Now, whether they can or not is a different matter.
No chance. Absolute no chance of getting that sort of atmosphere back at the Bulls.
It's such a big gap now, isn't it?
It's massive, know? Mark. It's massive.
I mean, you mentioned Featherstone. You look at their recruitment, it's been fantastic this year. They're going to push it close, you would think, in the top four, but making that note, as we've seen, when they get to the eights, they can't complete.
This is the other issue, that word has now got out to the Championship clubs that Lee have got a parachute payment.
Did they not listen to
the
show? We told them that a month ago.
I think we may have mentioned that on this very programme.
We did, yes.
In fact, I think we did it in front of someone who was from Featherstone Rovers at the time.
Yes. Well, I think he told us.
He may well have let that slip at the time. But, obviously, you know, the rugby league world is slightly changing, and it's not going to be down based solely on where you finish on the field.
Can I ask one question about that Lee debacle? It's one that Rich and I talk about quite often. Lee, given the parachute payment, the whys and wherefores of that are none of our business, but surely that was to ensure that playing staff, etc., could be kept on. They've gone out and signed a whole lot of players.
17.
But am I right in saying that Sam Hopkins had his contract terminated? How does that work?
Sam Hopkins, who might be announced as a Toronto signing tomorrow.
Right. But didn't leave by choice?
No.
That doesn't sit well with me.
Toronto becoming a feeder club for Lee? Because all the players and all the coaching staff, if they don't want to leave, they go to Toronto.
Adam Hickson.
They reckon Corey Patterson as well, maybe going to Toronto.
A lot of movement, I think, to happen. Rich, John Keir, is that going to be detrimental? We're assuming, of course, we might have joined up the dots that are not there to be joined up. But it looks like it's going to be John Keir.
It does appear that way, doesn't it? When Bradford announced him, no, it's not him either. You got the wrong John again. It was John Sharp all along.
John Keir's assistant? Or what do you think Sharp will take
his assistant? He was linked with a job. Publicly named in many parts. It seems to have been a bit of a backtracking on that one.
Well, I'll tell you what, then. Looking at this, and we know Mike is a good friend of ours and Chris Chase away from him, but the summer gone on behind closed doors over the last 72 hours for this to happen, isn't it?
No, I disagree. You know, I think he's got the chance to be the main man. He clearly thrives on it. What do you hear about when you get get a manager that goes for the England job, whatever, what they say, I miss beat the day to day, and I know he's still got that day to day,
right?
But it's still
that.
Not his team.
I understand that, right? How long has it been since Jeff Toovey said he's not coming back?
Oh, well,
how long?
A month, six weeks.
John Keir's been back weeks and weeks now. So why all of a sudden has John Keir decided to go for the Bradford Bulls job in the last 48, 72 hours?
Well, hold on. I'll ask you a question. I've just asked it. Why have Bradford not appointed a new coach 6 weeks ago?
Exactly.
So maybe Bradford have got a bit desperate and gone knocking on his door.
We'll find out tomorrow.
It might be one of the best decisions they've made in a long time at Bradford. We'll find out.
And it might suit John as well with his Welsh commitments, which I know he wants to keep on. They've got European Championship all being well at the end of autumn. So he can juggle a part-time role as a coach in League One with a national coach's role, so maybe it just works for everybody. Perhaps Bradford didn't realise he might be on the market until two or 3 weeks ago.
So Rich, is it detrimental to Wakey, do you feel?
Well, it seems that the partnership between Keir and Chester worked well for the club last year, didn't it? And he had some kind of influence in the defensive structures. I think that came out somewhere during the season, didn't it, from a press conference where Chester said him and his assistants worked on the attacking structures and came on the defensive one, so that would be a slight concern. But as Phil mentioned, the playing staff at the club's hardly been a massive turnover this year, and I'm sure someone may come in and replace him as director of rugby. I don't know who that would be. I don't know who's out
might
there.
Might be a job for you there, legend.
Well, someone's pointed this out.
Director of rugby.
He's already wearing the kit.
Ben Taylor says legend got something to tell us with his Trinity hoodie on. Is he?
He's got something to tell Michael Carter when he does a stock take tomorrow.
There's an extra, extra large missing.
If we know anything about Gary, if it's not free, it's
not returnable. It's a returnable.
3XL, it says on the label.
I wondered why you had the label slanging out of the back. Never mind.
Lots of comments on John Keir. Niall says, good luck to him at Bradford. Great coach and a cast lad. Stephen says, I think it would be a mistake for John Keir to go to Bradford. He's better off staying away from them than keep doing a great job alongside Chris Chester. Andrew says, got his work cut out the Bulls. Odds at least the Pits and a club are terrible at the moment. He sent in the right word eventually. There's a bit of a misspelling from Andrew, but a amusing one. And Ben said he's gutted that Keir is going. Maybe he's Wakefield still going to play at the Solicitor Thingy Stadium this coming season. Well, who knows? Might find out today. But
is he still in charge there, that Kiwi guy? Chambers, Chalmers, whatever they call him? Is he still there, is he?
Yes.
I tell you what, he's a miserable so-and-so. I saw him out in the World Cup, honestly. You talk about, there's more...
Are you going to blow a ding every time since I saw him out in the World Cup?
There's more personality and character in that dartboard what I'm looking at there, to be honest with you. He's absolute miserable.
I've got to go see him tomorrow, you do know that, don't you?
Good, yeah, well, just tell him, yeah. Just say to him, look as though you're enjoying the job. You know, it's a challenge for
yourself. Would you enjoy owning Bradford Bulls and losing
would have took on in the first place, but I'll tell you, boy, oh boy, what a miserable person he is, honestly. How can he inspire, you know, the fans to buy season tickets and all this sort of thing when he's just literally dire.
Maybe
dire,
the signing of John Keir might do that.
Let's hope John will put a smile back on everybody's faces. You know, we wish him all the best in the new job. It is a massive challenge, but... And I say, hopefully, he can get them the mess what they're out of from there, start playing attractive rugby league, and the fans will come back. Wish him all the best.
Winning rugby league rather than attractive.
We'll get on to that in the World Cup. Don't worry about that. Don't give me that rubbish. Anyway.
Have you been away, legend? I didn't know. No one ever mentioned it.
Definitely winning rather than attractive. Anthony says, Bradford have gone way, way, way downhill. The magic moments have gone from Bradford. That's all I can say. But the squad they have is way too good for League One. Good luck to John Keir. Phil says, John Keir, not a bad fit. The only way is up. Can't get relegated to National Conference from League One. Get merged with somebody else. Bradford Bristol Bulls or something. Ben says, Bradford won't get the same attendance as if they get Balling Super League. I know several Bradford fans have permanently lost interest.
Well, the club I support went bust.
What about that fellow that went to Ulk though?
Oh, yeah. Ralph about him. He'll be back.
Season ticket number one.
On a kind of tangent, Anthony says, do you think it will be Chris Chester's last season at Wakefield and go to a top club?
Listen,
should have beaten St Helens.
You lot thought it were bonkers last year when Matt Dermott decides to leave Leeds.
And gets the England job.
He plays the right way. Do me a favour, Rich. Plays the right way, does Chester. You mark my words. He won't be fired off being at Edderley, I'll tell you.
Yeah, fair enough.
Stephen says Glenn Morrison could be a decent pick for director of rugby at Wakefield. I think he's gone back. Has he gone to Australia? Has he gone somewhere else?
He was on the staff at Hull KR, ended.
I thought he's probably a bit too young for a role.
Director of rugby actually mean?
I don't know. You're the man. You know these things.
Once you have recruited the team, which is normally done by the beginning of the season, what then does the director of rugby do?
Interesting one, that. We know what he does at football and what he's responsible for, etc. But
yeah. Is it pathways of young players? Is it signing kids to the academy? Is that the scout's role?
Do press conferences when the coach can't be bothered?
Possibly.
Be seen on camera next to the coach?
Yeah.
Can you imagine Scully doing that? Sitting there next to the coach.
He's got to do the
important
fingers thing.
Talking to his radio.
Saying, get him off.
One of them kids walkie talkie things. You just sit there talking to him, looking like you know what you're doing.
I'll be ordering burger and chips. When I was sat in front of Brad Fittler, I think I was eating Haribo's and all that sort of thing. And this sort of Brad's looking still as though he could put the boots back on, and I'm eating their jelly babies and Haribo's. But anyway, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Brad Fittler for England, wasn't it, during the World Cup? Is he going to be the new coach?
Yeah, he just took on the New South Wales, wasn't he? You know what I mean? Daryl Powell will be getting an England job. Don't worry about that. And the sooner the better it gets announced, the better for everybody.
Did you pass on your regards to Wayne when you saw him?
I saw him, yeah.
Actually, it's all coming back to me now. You be quiet. It's all coming back to me now. Scully chucks me under a bus. His teammate, his work partner, his buddy. Been banned from the England camp. So we go, Scully's been banned from the England camp, has he? No, I don't know what anyone's on about. That's what you said. Listen. And you have been banned. Right. You have been banned, haven't you? Listen. I want you to tell the truth.
Listen, yeah, listen, I'm going to tell
you. Did you get banned, yes or no?
Yes, I did.
Thank you.
But I'm just going to tell you the reason being I was banned because everybody knows I was working out there as an ambassador for Glory Days.
Yeah.
Right? And I was banned because I work for the media, because I work for the radio, right? And I do a column in the League Express.
We could have soon sacked you. That would have been a problem.
But I wasn't accredited as a journalist out there. So realistically, all it was all the Glory Days people who was on the tour, right, going to a question and answer. And because of my association with yourselves...
Don't blame us.
I got banned.
He's blaming us, Rich.
Which was pathetic, but yeah. And also, it was in Perth, and then I was told, well, you can't go up the trade run neither the day after. I said, hey, listen, it's bad enough watching them playing live, never mind. Go watching them train. So not a chance. But it was a fact that the matter was, I was an ambassador for Glory Days. I wasn't happy about it, and rightly so.
So why did you come out then and chuck me under a bus? Why didn't you just say anything?
Because the fact of the matter was, Glory Days was the official supporters from there, right? And they were just literally saying, from a point of view, it's a Glory Days event, but Scoa, you work for the media, so unfortunately, you're not allowed there.
Who said that? Jamie Peacock?
Which is a load of rubbish.
Is that the same England team manager who writes a column in the paper during the World Cup? Is he a journalist?
Well, yeah. Work it out yourself. Pathetic.
He knows big words.
Pathetic, wasn't it? Huh?
Yeah. Poor
so
that.
How was Wayne?
When I got there the Thursday night, and then we had it was a World Cup launch luncheon, and everybody was there. It's about 300 people there. Big Mal were there, and Benno, you know, them two don't get on, that is for sure there. And I was on stage with Robbie Kearns, John Grant, and myself. And yeah, I brought they were a bit serious, this sort of, so I brought a bit of light to it, you know. Talking about Melbourne in 1992 and in front of 300 people, I said, hey, listen, Mal, this is going to be a Melbourne in 1992. And I predicted that we would win 33-10. Predicted in front of everybody. And they all went, oh, are you kidding? I said, no, don't worry about this. I fancy you. So after I'd done that, and I just went, and I said to Wayne, I went, all the best for tonight. If you play the right way, it could be 33-10. Bloody hell, fire. If they'd have still played tonight, it wouldn't have been 33-10, would it? to be honest with you from there. But got a good response from Mal. He just said, Scoy, that's decent motivation from that. That's decent motivation when I've just said you
the
speaking
motivator.
From there.
The motivator? In Australia?
So it was good fun. It was good fun, and... yeah, enjoyed it, and the respect what they're showing out there is just second to none. Yeah. You know, it's second to none. And
shame the England camp didn't do the same.
Well, it's pathetic. Pathetic, that's all I can say. Mm. And all I want to do is help. I want to give the advice.
I got about 100 messages saying, you said Scoy had been banned from the camp, and he's come out and said he's not banned.
Strawberry gate, isn't it?
I don't know. You chuck your mates under a bus,
Do me a favour.
No, it's good to have you back. Some tales, no doubt, to tell us later on, or...?
Well, you know the old story.
You had your partner with you, so you won't have been here to do anything,
But I must admit, there was a group from Hull, the lads from Hull, some of them were called Kaywood, and I forgot the other names, but I tell you what, they were brilliant. They came out for 3 weeks, and the lads from Hull, they respect what they showed me from there, and at the end they said... They said, then, you're not a bad bloke, are you? You know, and we had a discussion about the Hull, and we had a discussion about Mark Steed, so we're brilliant. But we had people from a point of view, from Feversham, from Batley, from Leeds, from Lee, and all over the place, you know. Everybody who was associated with Bleague, we had their supporters on our tour, and they really enjoyed the experience, and what Australia has got to offer, and the experience we'll take away is the Tonga atmosphere. You'll never ever witness anything like that again, because the Tongan fans, they were just singing hymns, and even when they were 20-0 down, when there was a break in play, there was music coming over, they all just got up dancing as though, you know, we just could care less and all this sort of thing. But it was just sensational, and then, as we all know, for the last 7 minutes,
would you have got to the video referee at the end?
Without a doubt. There's no two ways about it. He bottled it. And if it had gone to the video referee, we wouldn't have been playing in the final.
Of course we would. Of course we would. The video ref was English. Of course we'd be playing in the final.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Social media.
Ben Thaler wouldn't have come home, would he?
I tell you what, when there were 25,000 Tongan fans in there, well, there was only one thing what would have happened. It would have been the three-letter word. Don't worry about that. I can reassure you.
Yeah.
Was that your highlight of the tour, that atmosphere? Because I've spoken to people that were there saying they'll never experience anything like that again. And you had to be there to fully
appreciate it.
We got it off the telly.
You got it off the telly, but you had to be there to appreciate it. Yeah. Oh, mate, it was just sensational.
And you look around the stadium and 80% of it was red and white.
And also as well, the merchandise, what the Tonga Rugby League must have sold, because everybody, not just from adults and 15 and 16, even all the kids, they all had shirts on, they all had baseball caps on, they all had scarves on, they all had hats.
Did you get to meet the King of Tonga? Because he was there, wasn't he?
Yeah,
I didn't
get to see him. Well, I saw him, but I didn't get close enough to be honest.
You give some of the lads some land in Tonga, up in about giving you a bit.
It was a bit harsh. A bit harsh.
Hey, you got referred to today, by the way, once it was announced you were coming back, as the Belle Isle mouth organ.
Belle Isle mouth organ?
Yeah, that's what you were called. By one of the listeners. We'll now refer to you as Bimmo.
I'm glad to be back.
We need to sign up whoever does the Tonga merchandising then, because you can also buy one of their shirts.
Well, to be honest with you, it's me who's supposed to be getting ripped in. Everybody's getting ripped in of me.
Well,
I've only been back 15
minutes. We've
missed
you, mate. What can I say?
I must admit, though, what's them glasses all about, anyway?
Hold on.
You know, what's your premise?
What's your point?
Oh, what are you wearing them for?
Well, because if I took them off, I can't see.
Are they the new style or something, are they?
Oh, I don't know. Who are you to criticise anybody's glasses?
Look like the first pair I bought back in 1991. I'm still looking for that optician, the liar he was.
I think I found him.
He told me they were in fashion. 40 quid they cost me back in 1991.
Well, he gave them to me for 20. I thought I'll have them.
Retro.
Yeah. Lots of people getting into it.
On the World Cup, Vic's asking if Scurry had a good time. I think we know that. Did you go sea fishing?
No. I'm not a fisherman.
Gary, that was not an Aussie team of years gone by with more ingenuity from England. Were the Aussies there for the taking?
Oh, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. And I'll get onto it because everybody knows my view, certainly from last week, as well regarding our creativity. And I've got some notes here and I think we're going to review, and I'm looking forward to debate it with Phil, because I've heard a few comments about what Phil has said, and, you know, we were ankle tap away from Watkins, and, you know, if these young kids at halfbacks are good enough, then they should be playing. But, the Aussies... Oh, yeah, and they were nowhere near the quality of what they had produced before. Yeah, and I understand what Phil said last week or the week before. Yeah, they've had three players who could be immortals in Slater, Cameron Smith and Cooper Cronk. But then the rest, pretty average at this moment in time. And when you looked at that game last week, it's just a Wayne Bennett side that it's all about completion percentage. And the Aussies, in the last 40 minutes, weren't even interested in scoring any tries. And then for the last 20 minutes, they were out on the feet. Totally out on the feet. And then I was praying to myself, thinking, Luke, take charge here, son. Take charge. There was so much room about, certainly, on Callum Watkins' side out there, because on the flanks, they were gone. But also, too, just a chance for a little chip over the top and a bit of variation. If we could have run them around for the little 20 minutes... They were gone, and we will never, ever... All right, in 1992, we got beat 10-6, and that, again, was a lack of creativity. But last week, they will never, ever get a better chance of being World Cup winners. And the lack of creativity from the halfbacks, again, because they are not allowed to express themselves and play with that freedom. I feel sorry for Luke Gayle. Kevin Brown, unfortunately for Kevin, you know, he's not good at international level. And this moment in time for me with Luke, I feel as though that I'm still trying to impress Bennett. He's still trying to impress Bennett, and I don't think he still trusts him as that quality player. And if he was allowed to express himself, we would have been World Cup winners. But he wasn't. And as I say, at times, he just seems lost.
Do you think Wayne Bennett told him to kick on the third tackle of the penultimate set?
Well, what it was, that was panic. That's panic, Phil. That's a panic situation, because they're literally, two or three minutes away.
But that's not the coach's fault.
Phil, you can't be sticking up for Wayne Bennett. Not a chance.
I think Wayne Bennett should keep the England job.
Why?
And I think we'll win the World Cup in 2021.
Not a chance.
It's not about...
Right, I'll tell you why.
The creativity.
Of course it is.
They made
if
enough,
you don't score more points than no, the opposition, they, if you don't score more points than the opposition, you aren't going to win.
It's about the execution.
Have you listened?
They made enough chances to win that game.
Go on then. When?
They made at least four chances to win that game.
When?
Well, McGilvery's interception was one.
Yeah, well, he got the pace.
Came inside. Well... But wingers are taught to go on the outside.
I'll tell you why I didn't have the pace, because the wingers and the centres are being used as battering rams. Yeah. They're being used like forwards.
How do we know he didn't have the pace if you don't take them on the outside? That was a chance. That was a chance. Watkins not passing quickly enough to McGilvray. He just needed to show and give, but it was just a slight delay. The Watkins ankle tap, because that would, to all intents and purposes, have been a try.
It's just good defending. That is just good defending.
Yeah, desperate defending, and that's what the difference was in it. It wasn't that they didn't make chances, it's just they didn't execute the chances.
No.
In top class World Cup rugby league, it's about you'll only get three or four chances because the Australian defence is so good. If you take
Phil, they were out on
their
feet for the last 20 minutes. They were gone.
Two of them.
We didn't have any. We didn't have any.
Tom Burgess knocking on twice within a shadow of the opposition post. Well, it's not that we weren't making the chances.
This is the point I'm coming to where the game has moved to here now, right? What we are doing, our three quarters and wingers are being used like battering rams, bringing the ball away because looking for the quick play of the ball, maybe getting the penalties. And then what we're doing there then, when we're 40 metres away from the opposition try line, we're having the forwards playing as ball players. It's absolute rubbish. When was the last time we saw chip over the top or a good run around between a pair of halfbacks, creativity
from... We missed Sean O'Loughlin.
Yeah, we missed O'Loughlin because he takes pressure off.
Talking of forwards that move the ball.
And do you know what? Matt Meakin, he may should have been on the bench because he's got a nice pass and out wide as well. He would be, but they're not. They are not encouraged. They are not encouraged to play that. And I'll just tell you the reason why. When we're pointing view, you, Phil, you're saying we're going to win the World Cup in 2021.
So we can. Well, we I can. Think, I'm not saying we will, but we
well,
can.
If you that comment there, I think you're bonkers to be honest with you. But right, let's have a look at their halfbacks, what they've got, right? And they're nowhere near in the class of a Lockyer or a Jones or a Fittler or a Lewis or a Kenny. Right,
but they're the best of that they are currently available.
Right, well, but they're far better than what ours are, right?
Yeah.
In Michael Morgan, Cameron Munster, James Maloney, Mitchell Pearce, they can't get anywhere. Mitchell Moses will be in, he'll be considered very soon. Nathan Cleary, Daly Cherry Evans, and Ben Hunt. Right then, let me just give you the halfbacks. Well, we had, as you already know, right. Let me go through all the clubs.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
If we're looking to plan. If we're looking to plan here, because as I've said, if you don't score more points for the opposition, you aren't going to win. Look at the cricket at this moment in time. What's the great Jeff Boycott says? If we don't score enough runs, we don't give our bowlers an opportunity. Mm-hmm. So in any sport, if we don't, right then. Let's have a look here now then. If we're considering halfbacks, another halfback I felt sorry for was George Williams. George Williams was absolutely fed up about being out there because quite simply, he should have been on the bench again. Give him more game time. But anyway, let's have a look at this then. You look at Cass, we've got Young Truman, Gale and Ellis. At Leeds, we've got Myler and Lilly. At Hull, Sneed and Connor. At Saints, Richardson for mine. Yeah, he won't be far off being the next at England halfback and Lomax. Then we look at Wigan. We're going to talk about bringing Tompkins, Williams. They should be building a team around Williams for England as well. At Standoff and Powell. And then we've got Wakefield, Finn, and Miller, well, Miller's an Aussie, so he's no chance. Finney's Irish, but this one I'm just talking about halfback. And also a talking point was about Danny Maguire. Why wasn't he maybe considered? So Maguire, Hulkins, Rovers. And then at Warrington, we've got Patton, Brown, and then Roberts is going to come in there, where again, he's going to be taking Luke Patton's position, where we're going to struggle. And then Huddersfield, you've got Brough, well, he's finished, and he's a Scottish, so he's no chance. Witness Craven. And then you look at Lee ain't got anybody. Well, they've got Ewan Reynolds, he's nowhere near good enough. And Salford, they ain't got any uses whatsoever. So just a point, another what I'm making here, right?
But with the forwards. That is the point. The point is we don't have enough talent. And we mentioned this last week.
But how are we going to address this then? Because we're not bringing through quality halfbacks.
No, but the bigger issue, and we touched on this last week, and I still think that it needs debating further, precisely because it's on the back of what you're saying, is Callum McClelland leaving Castleford at the age of 18. The England under 16.
He's not 18, is he? Is he 18?
Is he just 18 or 17? But is the England under 16 captain, then played for the England Academy in this recent series, the under-19s. I think he's maybe just 18. He is somebody that you could have earmarked now, and indeed Castleford had earmarked to perhaps be in a position to take one of those half-back slots in 4 years' time. He's not even in the sport anymore. That is a bigger issue than the way we played in a World Cup final,
right,
because we haven't got enough quality players.
So the other big issue is, and I still don't understand why he's not even been brought to task about it, why was John Bateman playing in the centres for the full 6 weeks? It was absolutely pathetic. You had to feel sorry for John Bateman, feel sorry for Ryan Hall, an absolute pathetic decision from Wayne Bennett. Yes, we all know the coaching guru has been the success what he's had. Surely he knows that Bateman is not an international centre.
Of course
centre.
He knows, but maybe he felt that what Bateman brought to the team was more to what he wanted than anyone else that he could have selected. Now, we can disagree with the selections. We could say that perhaps there were people that he left here that were better suited to that role. But
we had somebody there in Percival.
Well, he obviously didn't
doesn't
think
like
Percival...
Well, why did he take him in the first place?
Like him. He looked at him over 4, 5, 6 weeks while he had him out there. Maybe Percival is a work in progress for the next World Cup. The issue is that we didn't have five players that could have played in that position, that had played well enough during the Super League season to offer themselves as potential selection. And the issue for I think Wayne Bennett was he needed somebody defensively, and Bateman for him was the bloke that did the job. Now, he got us to a World Cup final and an ankle tap away from winning it,
right, Phil,
with Bateman
in that
team.
Right, so we're looking...
In fact, even you've given Bateman 7 in your column today.
Yeah, Tom Burgess 7. He dropped the ball 3 times.
Yeah. He did his best and reasonable defensive job. Was that not what he was selected for?
But centres are not there for defensive. They're there to create tries.
On the right, we had the attack, and on the left, we had the defence.
So we're just boring down the left-hand side.
How many tries did Valentine Holmes score in the final?
Oh, listen, look at the opposition they played as well. But all right, let's have a look at centres. Right, then the centres who he could have picked, right, without even Bateman.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody felt sorry for John Bateman. He did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
He did what he was there to do defensive-wise. But then you look at this centre. Watkins went, Percival went, you got Shenton, then you've got Connor at Hull, Liam Sutcliffe at Leeds, you've got Atkins at Warrington, you've got Makinson, Cudjoe and Arundel. You know, it's an absolute joke that a bloke who is a coaching guru, the best that's ever been, allegedly, and he gets it so wrong by picking John Bateman in the centres.
And that is not in any way a criticism of John Bateman.
No, not at all. It's not John Bateman's fault. No. John Bateman did a very, very good job in the role what he was there to do. And John Bateman will say to you, I'm not an international centre.
Mm.
And everybody felt sorry for him. But unfortunately, what John were getting out there was undone criticism because he hasn't got the ball skills to pass the ball. Surely, it was there for everybody to see.
Well,
somebody has to
said,
be in the centre who could
as
get
you said,
right
maybe that maybe that was Zach Hardacre's role until 2 days before the squad was announced.
Hold on.
Maybe that was his role.
I've just named. Well, what's Michael Shenton doing sat at home then? What was Percival doing in the stands?
We named our side. We thought should have gone.
You know,
I agree with you, but maybe his plans got changed at the last minute.
I'd
love to know who was the man who was added in. I forget. Did we get told who was the man who got added in at the end? Anyway, we'll move on.
The 23rd man. Might be Scott Taylor, because he got a free holiday, didn't he, for the All-American?
Yeah. Was he on the glory days, was he, Scott Taylor?
You had to feel sorry for Scott, didn't you? Williams, Ratchford, and Matt Makin, because, well, listen, they were just spare parts, weren't they?
Mm. Eh?
I don't even really think that Bennett really, listen, he just rated him, and because he had to pick a squad of 24, that's what he did. There wasn't really, when you look at it, when you go away on tour and whatever, you want some of the players to be putting pressure on the players realistically on their positions, but that just wasn't the case.
Not the case whatsoever. Not that it matters, but Hinton should have got a 7 over Tom Burgess. At least he played well in the World Cup final.
Yeah.
Burgess would have been in the squad if his surname was Smith, and he hadn't got a famous brother. Tom Burgess won't be.
Listen, it's not this. This is not just judged over one game. Tom Burgess were rubbish in the final, you know. But if you read it, yeah, he did okay against easier teams like a lot of us. But also as well, Phil, I'm not a stat man, right? But throughout all the 6 games...
Unless it suits.
But when I'm talking about creativity...
Not a stat man, but I've got some stats.
I'm all about creativity here, right? We played Australia twice, Phil.
Yeah.
We played Australia twice and we scored one try. The first game was 18-4. Australia in that first test, you know, were absolute rubbish. They were rubbish. And still beat his 18-4. All right, Dugan scored that try, but you make your own luck. And then... You looked at all the 6 games, what we played in. You know the average points, what we scored? 23. That's less than 4 tries a game. That is pathetic. That is absolutely pathetic. So until we start sorting out the organisation with the halfbacks, letting the halfbacks take control organise, play with that vision and awareness, let him take control. We ain't going to be world champions.
Is there an element of meeting him halfway? As in, say to Bennett, right, up until we get to 40, we play this way. And then when we get there, this is what they'll
listen. Do you know what made me laugh?
Didn't we just make more mistakes than most teams? Even against PNG, we dropped more ball than they did, and they're renowned for dropping ball. That's not making opportunities. That's not taking opportunities. The other thing as well is that I mean, I know you've criticised the Australians, and I don't buy that for 1 minute. Defensively, they were absolutely sensational this tournament. They conceded 3 tries in the entire tournament. That's as good as any team in any World Cup tournament. I think to get so close to them in the final, to be 1 try behind them and make 3 clear-cut chances, maybe 4, and not take them. I think that's as good as we could have expected before we all left these shores. I think you're being unduly harsh on the Aussies. They picked 17 guys who play in the best competition in the world, and some of them, like Josh Dugan, was even playing out position to what he does as a club player. He was absolutely sensational. They've unearthed some fantastic new talent, which we've only seen glimpses of. People like Cameron Munster, Valentine Holmes. They still have by far the best reservoir of quality players. They may not have as many generational players at the moment, but that's because they're at the start of a new cycle. They have some exceptional players. So I don't buy into at all the fact that they weren't good. They were the best in the world.
Right, so where's our talent coming through?
Well, this is more of an issue than even who is selected and who plays where. What do we need to do as a sport to get a better quality of player coming through and challenging to be part of a squad that is selected to play for England? If, as we are led to believe, and hopefully it'll happen, next autumn, England will be playing on 2 fronts at the same time. They'll be playing New Zealand in a 3 test series, and they'll also be an England team in the European Championship. And I think the plan is not necessarily to have that as England Knights, because that's not sellable for Ireland and Wales and Scotland, but to have it as England. So whereas everybody will pick probably 24 players, England will pick 40, and they'll play 2 teams, and whoever is the coach of the team playing New Zealand will have access to dip in and out of the team that's playing in the European Championship and vice versa. So, for example, the guys who got very little game time would actually be playing in the autumn. The issue is, how do we get more of them? And the gap between what we play week to week in Super League and what they play internationally. I go back to the fact that, again, the defence of Australia would have taken something superhuman to break them down, and we very nearly did it. But how do we play at that level of intensity week in, week out, to make sure that...
Phil, we can't, because we don't have enough quality about, so we can't.
But the question is not who was selected for England, because I think we achieved the goal that we set out to achieve and very nearly exceeded that. The issue is, where do we go from here? How in 4 years' time are we going to win that World Cup? What do we need to do to impress upon the clubs that they have to play youngsters more often? That there's no point sending them out on dual registration or loan. What do we do to increase the quality and intensity of the competition so that somebody like Luke Gayle, who is without a doubt the standout in Super League for the last 2 years, can seamlessly go into the international arena and feel comfortable and look the part? And at the moment, this is part of his education.
Luke Gayle.
I think you need to stick with him, because otherwise you've wasted
the
opportunity.
Luke Gayle will be far more comfortable when he gets Dalo Powell as England coach, will be allowed to play. What you've got to find out is what you've got to try and do, you've got to try and bring your club form into the international bit.
But the international arena is not not our club arena. You don't come up against defences like the Australian defence. It's a completely different game when you play at international level.
I've played it 46 times,
so I know. So what we need to do is create
when
a competition.
When was the last time then? When was the last time we saw a chip over the top? When was the last time we saw international level?
I don't know. Lebanon did it.
I'm not about anybody else.
That might not be the answer. The defences are different these days. They are almost impossible to break down. We created chances, enough chances. We couldn't execute the chances that we made because we don't play under pressure often enough, that kind of pressure. I was under the impression, and this is something Carl Ablett told me when I was watching the World Cup final, which, again, I think the more information you get from people that play the game, the more it's easier to understand what you're actually watching.
Oh, no, Phil, nobody listens to me.
Well,
Nobody listens to me.
Sorry, Gary, what did you say?
Nobody listens to me. Nobody listens to me, so, you know. When are people going to start listening?
Well, I was under the impression that one of the issues for the England halfbacks was they couldn't have the space that they wanted to work in that they do at Super League level because the Australian defence was so good and it came up so quickly and restricted the space. It's exactly the reverse of that, apparently.
Rubbish.
That the Australian defence...
You can break defences down. If you stand a little bit deeper, you move the ball a little bit, you start doing a little bit of variation from a point of view. How many times do we go for 40-20s? How many times do we go? We don't. How many times do we try and chip over the top communication with the two halfbacks and the fullback? Phil, you can move defences around quite... You don't have to always go into contact.
I think defences are different now, and it's much harder to break them down, and we did everything we could. We don't play at that level week out.
It's our competition week in and week out. The intensity. That's been for many, many years now.
Let's get some interaction from the listeners.
We're talking about Callum McLeod, who's the guy who's going from Castlewood at 18 years old to Edinburgh. Here's the key stat as to why that can happen and why it will continue to happen. Just reading a story yesterday, came up on my Twitter timeline about the Scottish Rugby Union, who broke the £50 million turnover mark in the last financial year. Don't know how much of that, you know, profit or loss at the end of it. They're in talks to buy a whole Rugby Union club in the Arena Premiership. So they've got a bit more money. Where's the money?
And Scotland, up until now, have been pretty poor.
Absolutely.
Internationally. And there's still, that's the kind of income that
Callum McLellan said, it's the opportunity to play on a worldwide stage. He is now looking forward, at the age of 17 or 18, whatever it is, to playing in the under-20 World Cup. And where's our under-20 World Cup?
Fair point.
Gemma Carter says, I can see why Scoy was banned from the England camp.
Correct.
Brackets, Wayne Bennett in.
There you go.
Gemma Carter.
Now, there's somebody you need to take notice of.
Gemma, do me a favour.
She's right.
She's not offering you any sweets at the World Cup, is it?
Do me a honestly.
Looks like he's had enough sweets. Move on.
Honestly.
Alex says Tom Burgess shouldn't have been in the squad. He's now the new scapegoat, by the way, for the World Cup. We've moved on from Luke Gayle. You can all have Luke Gayle. We're on Tom Burgess now. He's abroad. We don't care. He was poor for South, even worse for England. Would have been better taken. Watts are actually playing Scott Taylor. Luke Gayle didn't look half the player for England he was for Cass. I also don't know why he didn't give Williams a chance.
Richie, because he's not been allowed to express himself. He has not been allowed to express himself how he wants to play. Listen, I was with Luke in Auckland, and I'm not prepared to discuss what me and Luke said because it was pretty private. But I can reassure you from there, I know for a fact with the conversation what we had with Luke Gayle, and I know he's a far better player, and as we all do, what we have seen with England. And if he's allowed to express himself, then quite simply, he could maybe the opportunity of opening up defences. And as I say, when you look at that left-hand side from there, when you look at the combination that he plays, it would have been ideal if Shenton would have been there, and the way they play behind the back instead of John Bateman. You know, when I played for Great Britain, it was mainly the Wigan side, so we played the Wigan formula, and we all fitted into that. It was quite simple. It's quite easy.
Yeah.
It's easy done.
I just thought Ryan Hall in the final had a great game, and he didn't get one running opportunity.
As a battering ram.
As
a battering ram. Him and McGilfrey, you know, they made so many yards.
The one pass he got was when he shouldn't have got a pass. That was off Brown when he went in the tuck. He had nowhere to go.
Nowhere to go.
Yeah.
So you've been out there. You've seen that the England squad now is split between players that play in the NRL and players that play in Super League.
Yeah.
Is the only way we're going to beat Australia if more of our players go and play in the NRL?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, playing at that
intensity. Because Alex Walmsley now apparently is next on the radar.
Playing at that intensity, week in and week out.
Because again, it strips our competition of its stars.
Phil, forget about that. Forget about that. Listen, at the end of the day, your game is recognised on a worldwide basis of what you do at international level.
In the short term, to win the World Cup in 2021, more of our players have got to go and play in the NRL.
And I would like to see, if Luke Gayle got the opportunity, George Williams got the opportunity, even Young Truman, Cass got the opportunity from there, because Darrell Powell just re-signed for 3 years, and I'm delighted the kid stayed there, and Darrell rates him very highly, as everybody as well. And from myself there, I would like to see the halfbacks, but they obviously won't give us that opportunity because they know the quality of what they've got. But if we could have that opportunity from there, it makes it better players. And to play that intensity, I'll learn to break down the defences.
What was there was a lot of love over here for McGilvery. We were feeling that over. What did they make of him over there?
Sensational. McGilvery and certainly Alex Walmsley, you know, were just literally, you know, making the yards from there. And outstanding. Absolutely outstanding from there, and also as well James Robey. And I know it's a massive injury to Hodgson, but again, when you look at it, when you look at the roles, what individuals should be playing, Josh Hodgson, when he, and I've said in my column today, and if you can't see it when you're watching it, well, I'll tell you what, you don't know a lot about rugby league, to be honest with you, but when he comes back on for the second stanza, when he does, right, it causes all the confusion. He thinks it's a standoff. It's too slow. His purpose in thinking is too slow, and it's all the confusion. And you can see Luke Gayle, the frustration. Luke, you could at times see the frustration Kevin Brown thinking, what the bloody hell are you doing there? This is our job. But again, this is the coach's point of view, where the players and individuals identify your own roles, and then the pretty boys who were supposed to do the organisation, playing with that vision and awareness, let them get on with it there. And as I say, but he brought far too much confusion, did Hodgson. But boy, oh boy, as I say, I don't often give 10 out of 10 for performances and what, but James Robey, how good was he?
Luke Gayle and Kevin Brown, the pretty boys.
You know what I mean. From
you
want to
borrow these glasses, mate. You want to borrow these glasses. Yours aren't working,
clearly. But you know where I'm coming from, don't you? And I say, you know what? When you look at the three quarters and the wingers just literally being used as battering rams and battering rams, I tell you what, if we're looking to move the ball around about from 30, 40 metres from his own trial and playing on the fringes and playing just on the outskirts of their defence, you know, them guys, they would love to be having the opportunity of trying, you know, to go that 40, 50 metres, making the job easy for the forwards further downfield. It's easily done, you know. It's easily done if you have players who want to play without vision and awareness and are allowed, right, are allowed to pass the ball.
What did you make of Jared Hayne at six for Fiji?
Rubbish. Rubbish.
There you go.
Because he plays with vision and awareness, but they lost 54.
Awareness of contract.
Jared Hayne is all for himself. I've no time for Jared Hayne. He's no time for anybody else. He's no time for the game. He's all for himself. It's Jared. You were hearing what all the media say. Hey, by the way, as well, fellas, I must say, they've got a show on television on Monday night called 360 Series, and it's just like ours. Just like ours. Open, honest, and great views from there. And I say, yeah, the 360 Series, I call it. And just reminded of our show by just being open and honest and making sure that our views are respected, I would say.
But
Jared Hayne for me. I've no time for Jared Hayne.
Because the way he plays is vision and awareness. And that's what got Fiji to a semi-final, moving him to six and him trying for the 40-20s and trying to get his big men outside him moving and getting his centre some quality ball. But against a defence as good as Australia, it absolutely broke him down.
Yeah, but Jared Hayne hasn't got the players around him like you would say.
Well, he did have quite a lot. He did. I mean, that Fijian team were very impressive. What do you think? Having seen Tonga up close, and they were obviously the darlings of the competition, and rightly so.
But they've got to keep the New Zealand players. They've got to make sure they keep the players.
Well, the landowners now in Tonga. The landowners, aren't they? The Tamalolo and one of the other ones.
Yeah, I hope they stay with Tonga because...
I mean, again, one of the other things that will help England to win the World Cup and or the Lions is that when they do come back in 2019, they go and play a game in PNG. They now go and play a game in Tonga.
They go
and play a game in Fiji, as well as Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need to play more games against the top nations.
Of course we do, absolutely.
To do that, we have to reduce the load of Super League.
Well, Phil, do you know what? Now, I'll buy into that totally. But also as well, when the Kangaroos... And I mentioned it before I went away, and I says, for our players to get used to playing at this intense level, right? And I said it to Roger Draper at Wembley, and I said it on the show a few months ago. When the Kangaroos come over, we know they're not going to be playing the likes of Leeds and Wigan and Halifax and Feversham for the week, right? But for our players to get used to this sort of intensity in this level, we have got to play Yorkshire, Lancashire and Cymru. So these lads are on the threshold or just on the outskirts of being selected from there. This is where they need to be tested. So as I say, Yorkshire will be coached by Lee Radford, Lancashire coached by Wayne, and Cumbria coached by Paul Clayton. So the ones who are just on the outskirts of being selected from there, get them tested against these quality players.
And we've got a mid-season international, if we can get the dates right, finally, if we can. Clubs have got to release players, haven't they?
Without a doubt.
But the problem is when they've got such a long schedule of club games and so many injuries because they're playing so many club games, it's not really fair to ask the clubs to keep releasing the same players to play internationals, but that's what we need.
But yeah, we need what we need, like all the other sports have, certainly when you look at the other coordinating union, we've got to have a proper international calendar, haven't we? That's what we've got to have.
Let's move it on now. Yeah. Let's move it on.
I was going to bring you a quote from the Tongan coach, and I think this is a great thing coming out of the World Cup. I'm on the NRL Twitter feed, where apparently you can buy NRL club-themed fishing jerseys.
Why wouldn't
that'll be straight in the Leeds Rhinos club shop in a few weeks' time. Skirt number 3 for the season. Every single kid in Tonga, they want to be Jason Tomalolo at the moment. They no longer want to be an All Black.
Well, there's a real issue with rugby union as well now in the South Pacific, that because players are now seeing the pathway of what rugby league has done through the likes of Taumalolo, they're now ripe for actually turning to rugby league. The rugby union haven't got a lot of money out there. They're not prepared to invest in the heritage rules that we did at the moment. Mm. And some All Blacks are saying, oh, I think we'd quite like to play for Tonga or Samoa, and the regulations won't let them. This is something that we can really capitalise on.
Yeah. Hey, Mark, as well, as I say, the legend's just back on the show from... I must say, as we all know, we've got an invite from Morris. Morris Cafe, they're doing all the... Morris Cafe at Middleton. They want a nice shower, because what they're doing, they do like all these athletic drinks and all this sort of thing and what have you. It's a cafe, it's a nice cafe, but they're doing these athletic drinks and all this sort of thing. I guess they've seen us in the studio here tonight on Facebook. They might figure, I'll tell you what, these guys are a little bit athletic, so the Morris want us to go up there and try out these products. What do you reckon, boys? What do you reckon? You're baking and eggs, are you? You're baking and eggs every day of the week, aren't you?
Bacon and egg milk.
Bacon and egg sausage and beans.
You're baking and eggs.
That's me.
But they're doing these athletes drinks, so you know, interested in that.
T2 sugars and an athlete's breakfast.
Right, I'll nip up there tomorrow and get it all ordered. We'll have the full
match. Like, you haven't been there all week.
We'll have the full match. So, Morris, we're on his way. Don't worry about that.
Right, loads coming in on social media.
Do we want to move on to the big talking point on Twitter yesterday, or do we want to leave that for a bit?
Well, we don't have to go for the news now, such as the new modern regime.
How do we get Scully to make the tea for
Well, well. I've made a tactical decision. I think Tom's going to bring him in shortly. So, and then he's replacing Scoy, who's off for a lie down. No, come on, you, Rich, you're in charge of the social media. You take it where you want it to go.
You just sit there. The great thing is now, you don't need to buy the Rugby League Express. We do, because we like it, but you don't need to buy it anymore, because on a Sunday they tweet out all the big stories that are in it, and then you don't need to read it.
Yeah. RL on RY, by the way, if you want to get in touch on Twitter.
So we all knew that, A, fans have got a nice new kit. That was nice. And you can vote for who you think is the Player of the Year. So everyone won't vote for Luke Gayle now, which is good. I like how they have an old Player of the Year award. That's my favourite thing. But also, the big breaking news is... dun-dun-dun... At the Magic Weekend, everyone's very upset. People are now stopping watching rugby league because any excuse for people to have a hissy fit on social media. Because at the Magic Weekend, not only will you get 6 top quality Super League encounters, but you also get to see media darlings, the Toronto Wolfpack, take on from the French side, who can't be bothered playing in the Challenge Cup, Toulouse Olympique, in a special bonus encounter. Apparently, but it's not official. We don't know.
Okay.
And everyone's upset. Sid says,
I think it might be announced tomorrow by Toronto.
Oh, there you go. Sid says...
So they're playing at the Magic Weekend, right.
Let's put them straight into next year's World Club Challenge, the Super 8s and the Challenge Cup semi-finals. Move the Grand Final to Toronto and make Nigel Wood present the trophy in a lumberjack shirt. That's a bit harsh. Maggie says, do you know when all the other Super League and Championship clubs were made aware of the fixture? Is it true that some had no idea? Well, they didn't know about Lee having that parachute payment, so they probably don't know about this.
But this is a standard fixture. That it's not a special fixture. It's not an extra fixture. Toronto have moved their home fixture to Newcastle. Well,
when are they playing it? When are they playing it?
Saturday or Sunday. Pete says, do you think it shows RFL bias? Why not reward Lee or London for finishing 5th and 6th? Another club who has just been
promoted.
Because
it's not a reward.
And one that can't be
bothered. Hold on. So why are they playing at the Magic Weekend then? Why are they not playing at Oddsall?
Because Toronto and Toulouse are the start of Super League determining their own future. And they have invited them to be part of the Magic Weekend. And Toronto have agreed to move their home game from the city of Toronto to the city of Newcastle. But you can see Hull and Wigan are playing each other in Australia. Mm. The Super League, which I believe has a new board, which I think we spoke about on the show a week or 2 weeks ago, it's now just the owners of the Super League clubs that have their board. There is no RFL representation on this board anymore. They are looking to market the Super League more aggressively. It's one of the reasons why they want to take hold of their own affairs. The reason they, I suspect, have invited Toronto and Toulouse rather than those clubs have been rewarded or gatecrashed is because they want the wider world to see that Super League isn't just played on the M62 corridor. And if the future of Super League going into 2021 and the new television deal, which is the most important thing that is on the table, we need to have potential broadcast partners who come from either North America and or France. This is the start of introducing other people to the sport of rugby league that isn't just geographically specific. Now, it may be a cosmetic exercise. Not one more person may go to Newcastle to watch that game. Not one supporter of Toronto or Toulouse may come and support that game. But it's a public... it's an appreciation to a wider public that the game is not just played
so
in the...
So the wider public being Canada, because Catalan are already in the Magic Weekend.
Yeah, but
so.
I think the realisation now is that maybe there is a need to move to have two French teams in Super League. That's not going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen maybe even outside of conventional promotion and relegation. But I think the realisation at the Super League table is they will never get money from a French broadcaster of significant note unless there are two French teams in Super League. I think by the same token, if there is genuine interest in New York, which we believe that there is, if there is now significant interest in places like Boston, there's also talk of Philadelphia. If England are genuinely going to play an international in Denver in Colorado, then all of this is repositioning the sport so that it appeals to wider commercial and broadcasting markets. And that's why these two teams have been invited to play at Magic Weekend. No other reason. It doesn't detract from anyone else because it's a standard fixture being moved, not a special one created.
Where's all the players going to come from? When we talk about quality,
this is the thing.
When we talk about quality, when we talk about intensity,
you're absolutely right.
Where are the players going to come from?
Absolutely. And is it going to be more to do with the fact that perhaps these new teams will have benefactors that can go out and, instead of our best players going and playing in the NRL, some of the NRL's best players come back and start playing in Super League? You know, is this the start of looking at maybe the salary cap ending? Is there a genuine realisation? And I know, and I understand everything you say about Jarrod Hayne, but in America he'd be a draw because he played for the 49ers. He'd be the one rugby league player that whose name might be even recognised over there. If he was to be signed by New York, then that is a pull back to Super League of a quality player. And if they were to go to Cameron Smith at the end of his career and say, do you fancy a couple of years in America? And he's playing in the Super League, albeit for a team in America. Is that not a way of increasing the intensity of the competition by getting some better players back into it? All of this, I think, is now up for debate because Super League are more in charge of their own organisation. Now, whether that's right or wrong, whether that means that there is a bleak future ahead for Championship and League One clubs, that's a much wider debate because if more money is concentrated in Super League...
But it sounds it that way, doesn't it? As
The
Championship clubs and the Division One clubs are going to say, well, you know, this is the way it's going. Fend for yourself.
But don't forget in the football, the Premier League very much do this.
Yes.
They ring-fence their own money and offer handouts.
Yeah, but Mark, football is international massively bigger game than what we had. Does that make sense?
Don't forget, 20-odd years ago, before the Premier League, there wasn't the money in it there is
my
now.
My question is, again, is where is the numbers of the players coming from? Where is the quality coming from?
It cannot be a one-pronged attack. You have to look at recruitment, you have to look at retention, you have to look at participation, all of that. Now, who is going to pay for that, underpin that? I'm not sure, but you can't do that without money. The key to all of this is money. And if new money is going to come from broadcasting deals in America and France, if new money is going to come through sponsors coming on board because they can see that the competition is much wider geographically than they thought that it was, then that's one reason for doing it, in the hope that by putting that out there, you're going to get enough back to then put your infrastructure in.
All right. I don't necessarily understand the whole everyone kicking off about this. And I think what it comes from is people whose clubs are in the Championship have not been invited to play at the Magic Weekend. But we don't know why this is happening, or for whatever reason. Or if you look at the Summer Bash last year, and to answer Jane's question, yes, both Toronto and Toulouse will be at the Summer Bash. The Summer Bash had its highest ever attendance figures over the weekend, but it had the highest ever on the Saturday and the lowest on the Sunday. And the sad fact is that the two clubs who contributed to that big attendance on the Saturday,
they ain't going to be there this
year. And I'm surprised the Summer Bash is happening because, you know, we support all the clubs and we want the sport to be bigger. The clubs have to do bits themselves to get their own fans through the doors. And the Summer Bash this year could be a complete embarrassment.
Could
unless be. People get behind it. Robert says, should it be Newcastle versus Bradford at Magic Weekend?
Are they not playing on the Friday? Is that not an economically very lucrative game for Newcastle
anyway?
Absolutely.
And it'll be their biggest attraction of the entire season to have Bradford there. But this is not about rewarding. It's about showing two teams that geographically are about as far away as possible so that they're under the arm of a Super League organised weekend so that Super League can show the world that rugby league is played in more places than people think it is. It's a strategic decision by Super League. It's nothing else. And Toronto...
Are the games going to be broadcast in Toronto? Do we know this? In Canada?
We haven't heard whether the agreement that they had with whichever channel it was has been renewed yet, but I'm pretty sure it will because I think Premier are planning on having all of their games on this year and they would take the feed
They'll need something because they've got a lot of
cancelled Premier, so... Yeah, it took me ages to do that as well.
All right, go on.
Mark says it's got to be a report. Got to be a reward to play at Newcastle. How many Canadians will be coming over? Well, how many?
Hold on. You know, talk about the tail wagging the dog. Hull asked not to play OKR at the Magic Weekend, and yet they're playing each other in a friendly. Who would have thought it?
Well done, lads.
Well done. Yeah,
Kem's a great shock.
You know.
We're talking about diluting the product. You look yesterday on the TV, it was Man United versus Man City and Liverpool versus Everton. Football will get to that same point because those fixtures are on TV twice a year, every year.
But they're not on five times a year. And that's the issue, that we distill our own product. And if we didn't play so often against the same teams and reduce the fixtures accordingly, we'd be able to build in more internationals and a greater intensity, which is...
The better example is the
old our expert
game,
here has identified that we need. And it's more important than who plays centre for England. It's actually getting this right on the back of the success of this World Cup.
Okay.
Maggie, however, is the voice against the tide. She says she loves it, hopes it leads to more coverage of championship games. Sky missed the trick by not showing them. And this is where we, as a sport, and whoever does our TV deals for us, needs to have more of a say on what we do with those rights, because we look at the Rugby Union on Sky, and they show Championship Rugby Union fixtures and the women's, whatever their division's called as well. And the crowds aren't bigger than the Championship games in Rugby League, because I looked into the numbers last year, although, again, that was helped by hooking some rumours.
But the sport pays for it.
But we must say to Sky when we have our deal, well, yes, you've got the rights to the Championship, but you actually have to use them. You look at the BBC last week, I don't want to go down this road, there was a reason why they showed Oxford versus Cambridge in the room.
Took the snooker off.
Which people want to watch. Sean Murphy very upset.
Yes.
So it's not just us. There's a reason why they showed that, and it's not necessarily because the nation... And that was broadcast on BBC2 everywhere. Northern Ireland, Scotland, Wales. There's a reason why they showed that game, which is of no interest to the vast majority of the public, and the same that the Super League's not in the interest of the vast majority of the public. But we should be saying to the broadcasters who we do our deals with, yes, but... Mm.
OK, go on then.
SBB not happy. Expansion team Toronto playing a number of their home games in England. What is the point? Well, I think it's only one, isn't it? I don't think they're playing any others.
OK.
What we should do with the Magic Grand Summer Bash, and I've said this before, merge the two, have them at Manchester City, because then you can have a championship game going on in the little stadium next door and a Super League game in the big stadium, and you can go between the two.
I tell you, I'm looking forward to that fixture, Toronto and Lee. Very much looking forward to that one.
Yeah?
At the Sports
Village. There'll be a bit of biff, do you?
At the Sports Village. I think there'll be plenty of biff. Don't worry about that.
Do you not think they like each other?
I think we know the answer to that, boys, don't we? I'm very much looking for them. And also as well, but again, you know, we're talking about marketing the product, what we've gone with. That should be a game where it should be marketed out as it. But, you know, when we talk about, you talk about origin and mate versus mate and all this sort of thing, that sort of thing, because there's no love lost between the directors and also to Paul Rowling and the club and all this sort of thing from there. So there's a great marketing opportunity there, you know, from an intensity point of view and a quality where it's going to be.
But if you really wanted to build up the bash, that would have been the first time Toronto and Lee would have met each other.
Mm.
But it isn't, because they're meeting each other on the first week of the season. Yeah. So you're already distilling rivalry.
Yeah,
what I'm saying is, if, like you know, Rich just said, Everton and Liverpool is a game that transcends just the fans of those two teams. But if it's only twice, you can get away with putting it on the telly all the time because it will sell out in the ground and everybody will watch it on the telly. There'll have been people yesterday, because it was timed on a Sunday when there wasn't a lot of other live sport, and they will have watched both of those football games one after the other, that don't support any of those four teams because it's a big occasion. Mm. You sit down with your tea, you watch Everton, Liverpool, and then you watch Manchester United and Manchester City. Even if you're not a football fan or you don't support those teams, because they are big events. Okay. What we do is distill our events to the point where they're not even events anymore.
I talked to us tonight because he's asked, it's not a hissy fit, which I claim, you know, people getting upset about this was. It's important to people. Couldn't care less about Magic Weekend. Well, you kind of destroy your point there by saying you don't care about it, but you do. Why is it important to people that Toronto and Toulouse don't play at Magic Weekend? Because that's what you're saying.
Okay.
I don't understand why people.
You've asked him. Let him, let's see what he says.
People are upset about it. Apparently, the game against Halifax hasn't been arranged yet for Toronto. So, okay, we'll see what happens with that as well.
Well, Toronto have got a press conference tomorrow, of which news will no doubt filter out during the afternoon, of which they're going to address a lot of these problems. It's not in Toronto; it's in Manchester, obviously. But
right.
But we should have an answer to at least some of these questions: who their new recruits are, where they're going to play, how it's going to work logistically, why they've been invited to play at Magic Weekend. So I think some of the speculation will be answered tomorrow with fact, but it's not a reward. I go back and saying, you know, if you don't want to watch the game, don't watch the game, but it's for Super League to show where Rugby League is played, for no other reason.
Niall says Cass versus Leeds at Ellen Road needs marketing more. I am sure when we get closer to the game, there'll be
The issue is not that Cass playing Leeds at Ellen Road. That will market itself. Mm. Not only the fact that it's the anniversary of 1988 when Leeds played Cass at Ellen Road, it's the fact that you've then got to remarket it for Magic Weekend. It's playing too often.
Just get rid of the bash in the Magic Weekend, says Andrew. It would shorten the season, making it better for players.
But we also need events. And the one thing that does work with Magic is that it is an event and it is in a new place with a new audience.
Yeah,
I think you incorporate it as part of the season.
You need more.
Need it as part of the season,
yeah.
Not as an add-on to the season.
Yeah.
It may well be that this year we see that the bash is... Is it just a sop to supporters of championship clubs to say, look, you've got your own little event here because nobody else is buying into it?
It is.
I don't like saying that because I enjoy it, but...
Yeah, you'd be better off, in my opinion, this is only my opinion, saying to the championship teams, right, four of you got to play in Bristol, but on the proviso that Bristol, if you like, bid for the games and they guarantee a certain amount of gate money, they pay the money to the clubs get paid for going there, and you go, and you do that at various outlets around the country, and that's the way to do it, rather than... We're all going to Blackpool, where inevitably, if you sit in that stand where the media are, it's freezing. No matter what time of year you go, as Scotty will attest to when he turned up without his coat on that time. But I do. It's not a pack. We go to Magic, we love it, it's brilliant, and it's not because it's Super
And there
League.
Is a purpose
it's
to it.
It's just because of the atmosphere and everything that's generated. You don't get that at
But we
at
also
Blackpool.
Need to market Magic more in the North East.
Yeah, the aim should be, Phil, we're going to sell it out.
Well,
it's the hottest ticket in town, and we're going to sell it out on the Saturday.
The average attendance at a Super League weekend, subject to who is playing at home, but the average, is around about what we get at Magic.
Yeah.
Therefore, the logic says there's some people who don't go, and they're filled in by some people from the northeast who do. But we don't have a 20%, 30% uplift of people from the northeast that are going to the event, and that's what we've got to try and capture.
Yeah, I agree.
Nide says, because I asked him, and he's got back, it's a big sign that franchising is coming back and these favoured foreign teams have their own set of rules. It's over for heritage clubs.
As Mark Campbell, you know, said when he came in, as a club, you've got to keep working hard, you've got to do everything the right way, and you've got to keep building.
Look at
if you give up, then you give up. That's, you know, that, I don't know who you support, Nigel, but if that's your attitude and that's the attitude of your club, then they will be done.
Fev are a little team in a village which used to have loads of pits and doesn't have any more, and yet their media stuff, video and the press releases they send out put some Super League clubs to shame.
Because they're doing a good job. They're doing a good job.
You know, so I was just going to ask Gary, when you were on tour, you must have come across some commercial big hitters, either as people who were part of the tour or people that you got introduced at these big 300-seat lunches that you went to. Do you think there is a latent, significant amount of money out there that we could attract into the sport? Is that something that we don't do well enough?
We don't tell people what a great product we've got. You know, and I think at times all we seem to do, we just, you know, if we do get two classic semi-finals in the Challenge Cup, or, you know, a classic semi-final in the Grand Final or whatever, that's what we just seem to build on. But we just don't do it enough, and we're not out there all the time telling people what a great product we've got.
And when you walked away from the stadium in Auckland after that semi-final, you must have thought, this is as good as any sporting event. You know, that's as good as the FA
we've
Cup final.
We've had it. There was nothing like it. Absolutely nothing like it whatsoever. And I say, if you could not be impressed, not just by the game itself, but the atmosphere, and also to the way that the crowd behaved and everything from a point of view from going to the ground and leaving the ground from there, you could not wish for it. And if anybody who was there from any sort of big companies, quite realistically, you would be saying, I want to be involved in this game. I want to be involved in this product.
How many, though, then went to the World Cup final that didn't sell out? And they go, World Cup final, it's not even sold out.
As well, though, mate,
against
as well,
the oldest sporting rivalry in the world.
And the big disappointing thing about it as well, the Aussies, they won, as we know, they won the World Cup. And the Aussie fans didn't even stay for the presentation.
No, they didn't.
They didn't even stay for their own country to receive the trophy, which was very, very disrespectful. Agreed. Very disrespectful.
At that World Cup final was David Argyle, the owner of Toronto Wolfpack.
Yeah.
Some of the backers behind the New York bid. More Sports International, who are supposed to be running the 2025 World Cup and want to put a professional team in America. Did you get to meet or see any of those people?
I didn't get to meet him, no, and I know that they weren't so far off where I was in the suite from there, but no, I didn't get to meet him or have a chat with him, whatever, you know. No,
but that would be encouraging that people, like major investors like that, are coming to our World Cup final.
Phil, I'm not allowed to go to a training session, I'm not allowed to go to a question and answer, never mind meeting the top people to, you know.
You're not allowed in here as well.
I could quite easily tell people
what product you could sell the sports in?
Easy. I'd love to be out of the opportunity and just tell them how good a sport we have got and the products what we have got, and I'm not being biased at this, but there is no better sport out there when it's played at the right level, when it's played at the intensity level, when it's played with the quality of players, what there is on the international calendar. Yeah, I would love to be meeting these people and telling them what sort of products we have got, but, and I say, can't even go to a barbecue for a question and answer, so I'm not going to be allowed to meet top people who want to maybe sponsor the game.
Is that because the Fort Scott is going to get all the food?
I don't know.
I just want to warn people. I'm going to ask a question about the Leeds Rhinos in a moment. I know people don't like Leeds, so I just want to warn them. But Nigel asked the question to you, Mark.
Yes.
He says, give me a reason why I should watch a Championship club or pay money every week. What's to play for, Mark? Nothing. That's what.
Place in Super League? Surely.
People go watch Bury play football. Not many of them. But they ain't going to win the Premier League, are they? And they're not going to be in the Premier League anytime soon.
I think that's a really weird way to look at sport now. If you don't like it, don't go.
Surely part.
But if you don't like it, don't comment on it. Just leave it.
And if it's a part-time club that plays in a smaller historic community, the work that they do in that community, the identity that they give to people, give them a competition that they can win. And for some of them,
like Bantley, for example, that is enough. Yeah.
They don't have aspirations to be something they can't be.
Yeah.
So give them something they can be, and the work that they do in and around their community and the love that people have for them, that can be fostered and turned into something.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean they have to play at Old Trafford.
No. Burton Albion in the Championship, are they ever going to realistically get promoted? Their ground holds 6,000 people. They've got the lowest budget by a million miles in the division.
But they still perform
to the best of their capability.
And they have a hardcore of fans that would support nobody else.
Yeah, and I'd argue with Nigel, if you do love your team, I don't know who it is, Batley, Swinton or whatever, if you love it, try get one of your mates to go with you. That's how you can help your club and make your club bigger and better and stronger and do whatever you can to help it. I don't know.
We're not saying everything's perfect. We're not saying, you know...
Well, he's come back. He said, to finish in the top four, then be playing for second last place and an extra 50k. Right, all right, Nige. He said, it's not sport. Right, we'll do it one up, one down. I don't know who you support, so I don't know if your team is going to make the top four or not. Are they going to then make the top one? I just think you're mourning for the sake of mourning, Nigel, if I'm honest. So, that's my opinion on that.
I think we've spoken about it before as well. There is a significant financial difference between full-time clubs and part-time clubs. And unless we address that and acknowledge that and produce competitions that serve both of those halves, we're not addressing the problem.
And there are very well-financed clubs in Rugby Union's Championship who turned down the opportunity to even play for promotion.
There was a story. Who was the Rugby Union club that have deliberately gone part-time in the Championship That could go full time, but are having story, much more fun and starting to win games.
It was Richmond, but they also had the advantage of being able to pick up bankers and solicitors on a large wage in London who can play part time.
But it suits that club and its supporters to play in that division and have the enjoyment and the victories that they have. They at the moment have no aspiration to be in the top division.
Yeah. But everyone that goes and watches knows that. So
it works for them.
Yeah. You picked the wrong analogy in Burton Albion because they've had loads of promotions.
Yeah, they have. From where did they start? Yeah, and they've got a very rich backer. Yeah. But has he got the resources to go to get in? Mark Campbell came in the other week, right? He owns a championship club. He puts his own money into the championship club. That club is in a miles better place now than it was 2 years ago, than it was 4 years ago. What did he say? I need to generate more money so that I can go full-time and that I can challenge to get in a Super League. He gets what it is. It's not about pulling up the drawbridge. The teams that get in the Premier League invariably are the teams that spend money and invest money to get there. A lot of the fans, when they get there, teams like Bolton, who lose every week, they said they'd rather be in the Championship winning games and competing than rather be at the bottom of the Premier League where you're going away from home hoping you're going to get a 0-0 draw and
selling,
not playing.
And selling on some of your best young players to keep your club going. It's the way it works in
sport. What do people want? They moan about franchising, they moan about promotion and relegation, and yet they moan that there's no way forward for their club. What do you want? There's always life. There's always going to be someone that's got a better job than you, that earns more money than you, or can do things that you can't. That don't mean you sit at home sulking and give up on life. You go out and do the best you can do. You try and get a better job. You try and earn more money. You try and meet new people or have new experiences or take up a hobby that makes you happy. You don't just sit moaning. Why do people do that?
You've broken the bell.
Broke me bell now, Nige. Not having it. Who do you support anyway, Nigel? I hope they have a great season.
Well, this is the thing about Featherstone as well. That's the tiniest potential market for supporters. It's just a village. It's one road.
Yeah, but one man's got a dream to make it something, and until he gives up on it, he's going, isn't he? Mm. He's going. You know, I respect him for that.
I just wish he had more opportunities to give to the people of Featherstone something tangible for the effort that he's putting in, which for me would be a cup.
Like he said, though, they own their own ground, their destination, or their destiny, if you like, is in their own hands. Ian says, well said, Mark, you need a shave. I know, look, come on. Face for radio, Ian. Come on.
I said we'd talk about the Rhino.
Has Scully got jet lag? He's gone quiet.
He's fallen asleep.
Well, you're getting all a bit diplomatic, aren't you, really? You know, you just get a bit deep at times, but anyway.
Deep. That's a new tagline for the programme.
We'll get Ollie Holmes on. He went 2 hours. He didn't give up after 82 minutes.
Howard Gibson, does the legend know his place may be under threat from Ollie Holmes?
Yes. What say you legend?
Heard? Yeah. Have you heard?
Not a chance. Not a chance. There's only one legend. Simple as that.
He was so good, the crowd wanted him back a second.
Yeah, he had to bring him back.
Yeah. Public demand.
He actually rang me up today.
Said, can I come on instead of the legend? He's waiting for you in the car park.
It's the takeover. What, for me? Who knows?
No, for Scully.
Crikey.
It's the takeover. Gets bundled in the back of a car.
Come on, Nigel's been back.
He says, I've loads of time for him. It's been like this is 1996. Big decision needs to be made. Either go franchising or not. No in between.
Fair point. That is a fair point. And I think that is something. Again, I'm assuming Nigel supports the Championship Club. We can all, it's in the background, isn't it? We can all sense it.
No, I all sense
it's coming.
Yeah, it's coming. We've had it.
I know you can't please everyone all the time.
We're not as open and honest and transparent as we should be as a sport.
Yes.
Pete says, franchising last time was as transparent as lead. Yeah, but lead's got a value as well. look at Castle Wednesday.
First seen Belle Isle.
Nothing's changed in 10 years. We've got a box ticked for derelict grounds. Well, don't we? Because Wakefield will be moving soon and so will Cass. So, you know.
There you go.
Tim says, I used to watch Burton
Albion. It's
going to
be the last game at Bellevue.
I'm not going to be there either.
Last ever game.
I was there for the last proper game against Wigan, though, so that counts.
Mind you, I went to the last Status Quo concert 15 times, so.
Mm. We're going to cry on the telly and get the sound stand up.
Are they moving Wakefield, though? Because that's all fallen through now, isn't it? Is that right?
No. More will be revealed.
All right.
Tim says, I used to watch Burton Albion when I lived down there against the likes of Nuneaton and Dover. Back for a weekend in 1992, what happened on Leeds against Widnes at Headingley? Bobby Goulding flicked the V's at the West Stand in the pre-match, and I was back hooked on Leeds. I can't but that. No.
There you go. No.
So out of character.
Possibly libelled Bobby Goulding.
No, probably not, to be fair.
On Leeds, well, first we'll talk about Casa because it's about Leeds. Ben says, Casa aiming high, signing Corey Ashton, to a lot of ambition. Not, he's not happy. A lot of people not happy with this signing.
Can I ask a question? Does anyone expect him to play more than three Super League games? I'll be surprised.
Who?
In fact, we'll have a little competition.
Corey Ashton.
How many games for Cass in the Super League will Corey Ashton play this season?
None.
Two. As a backup hooker.
One.
I'm going three. So there, no more than three. There's an ulterior motive.
Darryl likes a project as well. He's got a guy in that he thinks he
could
do
something
with.
Do you think? Many have tried.
No. Well, unless he needs a new tea boy in Stuart Vose's.
Right, he needs to work on his tea. Awful. Awful.
What is it?
Coffee Week. Club.
Week.
It's the best. No one about that. But,
very good.
Tell you what, as well, just maybe, you know, some of the signings what Castleford have made. You know, since I've got back and I've been speaking to a couple of Castleford, well, a few Castleford fans, and, you know, they're saying, Scoy, why are we signing these sort of players? You know, they're not going to get them to
name
the
names.
Ground final.
Name names.
What do you mean? What, the players with the sign?
Yeah, not the people you've been speaking to.
Well, I go with the three. That Gary Law, there's more mistakes in him than what these you on the golf course. Jamie Ellis, nowhere near good enough there. And then I say James Clare, who they brought back from Lee there. And, well, there's four then. And Corey Aston.
Right.
How many
players have left Cass this year?
I don't know, to be honest with you. So,
any big departures? You know, any Luke Gale leaving or anyone like that?
No, right.
Yeah. Potentially. But how many people have had extended contracts, new contracts, people signing better deals on more money? Quite a few.
Right. So
there's a salary cap. They can't just go out and keep buying players. You know, they have to retain the ones that they've got.
Yeah, I know that. But the ones out there, they have bought, are they good enough?
Well, I think if we'd have asked that question about Leeds Rhinos last year,
this is a question where I'll tell you, there's not enough quality around,
absolutely.
Is there?
Absolutely. Doesn't that go there's back not to the core around. Of how do England win the World Cup in 4 years' time? We don't need to just recycle players. We need to bring more and new young
talent.
The
Castleford structure seems to be pretty good, certainly from a youngster's point of view. Well, they've just let a quality youngster go to Warrington. Well, why is that then?
Well, I think if Rich can get Thompson
has gone to Warrington to sell it for 45 grand.
But basically, what they've done is they've analysed the squad that they've got and said he probably at the minute isn't going to get in the squad.
And for 45 grand, we'll take that for a kid.
Yeah, and they've said if he wants to go, you know, it suits everyone, let him go. If he's not going to get. If Daryl Powell, I'm sure Steve Gilded say, Daryl, I'm taking that 45 grand, it's got nothing to do with you. I'm sure he went, actually, Daryl. What do we think? Is he going to play? If he's not going to play, let's have a look at someone else.
Yeah, but are you not supposed to keep your best players?
Well,
potentially your best
maybe
players.
Maybe there's a thought that Daryl at this moment doesn't class that young man as one of his best players. In 2 years he might be.
In your opinion,
he's not going to be at Cassidy, he's going to be at Warrington.
He might go to Warrington. There's plenty of young kids who have gone to Warrington, mate, on a lot of money and not done anything.
I agree totally.
Better, Jamie Ellis or Tom Holmes?
I'd go with Tom Holmes every day of the week.
But Daryl's decision, I think, is that Tom Holmes isn't going to be a long-term Super League player. Jamie Ellis is a proven Super League player, so that would be why he's recruited.
He plays Super League. He's not going to win your grand finals. He's not going to get you to grand finals.
They're obviously going to move Ben Roberts to fullback, so they're trying to get a couple of halves in. It sort of makes sense with the balance of the
squad. Jamie Ellis and Corey
Aston
aren't going to get them where they want to go.
What are we arguing about?
How do we know? Dallas might see something different than what we're seeing him. You know what I mean? So they're not going to get where they want to get.
They need backup for Paul McShane. He didn't get injured this year. Played the best year of rugby he's ever played, but I reckon they need somebody who they can perhaps turn into an auxiliary hooker, or either to give him a rest or.
So who's going to play the hooker then? You reckon Corey Aston?
Well, I think he's looked at Corey Aston and said he might not be a halfback, but we could perhaps. He's got the hands and maybe the the understanding of the game that he could perhaps go into that hooking role.
Right.
Maybe.
Well, you must have seen something different than what I've seen, Phil.
Have you seen him play hooker?
I've seen him play rugby league.
Here's Darryl
he
Fowler.
Might be more of a James Robey than a Josh Hodgson.
Go on then. No,
this is Darryl Powell on Lewis Johnson.
Yeah.
He said, we've taken into account Lewis's wish to take up the offer from Warrington. Our significant depth and length of contract in the background felt he was in best in both Lewis's and our club's interest that we allowed him to further his career at the Wolves. Having made a conscious decision where our positional priorities lie with young players, we will now focus on developing our talent where we need it most.
I mean, he's just upgraded Mike McMeekin because he's an England international. Maybe you can't have both.
Well, I was speaking to an agent in the game, right, about Castleford, and he said it's their perfect storm. They've got, basically, a squad for whatever it is, 1.8 million or 2 million quid. They've got a 3 million quid squad for 2 million quid because they've got the likes of Mike McMeekin in, probably on buttons, if we're honest, mm-hmm. from London.
Greg Minikin would be the same.
And then all of a sudden, the NRL are going, oh, Mike McMeekin, yeah, we like the look of him. So the contract's got to go up. Same player, but a lot more money. And there'll be other players like that. That's the salary cap. Mm-hmm. There's going to come a point in Super League, right, and this is when we will know the salary cap's biting, when one day Wigan come out or Leeds come out and say we've sold our best player to St Helens or Warrington because we need to free up some space on the cap. We're sacrificing a good player to get our squad right.
And I also think that one of the issues in bringing in, if you want to call them franchise clubs, in the American and Canadian market is that they will lobby long and hard for the abolition of the salary cap, because for the sort of players that they need to buy and want to buy to be competitive and to have a profile, they can't do it within the salary cap.
Fair enough. We'll see.
Further delaying the Leeds Rhinos chat, Terry says, thanks to the legend for his message to the Fev Lions under 9s kids all the way from Melbourne. A great gesture, and the boys and parents loved it. Great to meet you, Gary.
Yeah, pleasure. Thanks for your respect.
What did he say? Chip over the top.
Yeah.
Play with vision.
Play with
a smile on your face. I bet you said that, didn't you?
Absolutely.
You're looking a bit miserable tonight, legend.
Who?
You are.
Yeah.
Is it tired or what? You came in, you know, full of vigour and enthusiasm and, you know, that cafe, have you been in there all day?
Do you know what it is? Run out of gas. He'd forgotten how tough this defence was, isn't
he? Oh, exactly.
Oh, yeah, He thought he could just come in, chip over the top. He's cracking under pressure. His tan's fading as we speak. No, it's not bad, actually. But you'll all take on board, sooner or later. You'll all realise, lads, that I'll be correct. Don't worry about that. About the way we should be playing, about how the game should be played. Simple as that.
Rugby League's Geoffrey Boycott. I'm expecting someone to write 10,000 words in The Guardian.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be in the comments saying, no, you are wrong. We love Scully.
Yeah. Mark said Scully had a great first hour. We should have taken him off then, Mark. Shouldn't we? Brought all the Holmes on.
We should have brought him on.
Well, to be honest with you, at times, you know, like Phil, you know, gets diplomatic and all this sort of thing, and franchising and all this sort of thing. But anyway, let's move on.
Talk about the good things, Gary. This is an all-round show.
I know it is.
You know, you've got all the games, son.
You've seen, what is it, 360? You know, we've got to up our game. We've got to aspire to be the best in the world.
Well, we are the best in the world.
Record numbers last week. It reminded us of our show, the
360 series it was. And I say there's three journalists on there, Phil Rothwell, Paul Kent and a variation of others. And he was on
there. Is that the Ben Aikin show?
Yeah, the Ben Aikin show, yeah. And he was on as well, or Matthew Johns, and Fittler said it as well, and they just say, what the English have got, well, they call us Poms over there, which I keep saying, when it's us who sent you over there under 40 years ago, so you're the Poms, realistically, from a point of view, but they're all saying exactly the same, you know, they've got to play the British way, and what made me laugh, from Mal Meninga's point of view, after the game, was quite simple. England must keep Wayne Bennett. Because you know why?
He'll never beat him.
Because it's easy to coach against Wayne Bennett because I know how they're going to bloody well play.
It could be worse. Brian Moore calls them the Shackle Draggers, doesn't he, on Twitter?
Calls who?
The Australians, that's what he calls them, Brian Moore. He's a learned man, he knows.
He is. He's a solicitor, so he can defend himself in court. We don't have that luxury.
Even though he's from Yorkshire. thanks to Tom for pointing out that on the Toronto Wolfpack Facebook page, they have confirmed that they will play to lose at the Magic Weekend. We don't know when, though. Saturday or the Sunday.
No.
We'll find out. Apparently, Andrew Sisko is not match fit.
Yeah.
Needs subbing.
Mm. Not match fit?
Yeah. Can't do the distance.
Probably should have bought a keg in at half time, shouldn't we?
We brought one in at 6 o'clock. He sat next to you.
I must admit, it was hard work for 42 days, having a drink for 42 days.
Did you start shaking when you got home and didn't have a drink or what?
Not
you...
really, because I'm only off it for 2 days.
So you've been out with the king, haven't you, this weekend?
Yeah, I was there. You said Keighley, brilliant.
Yeah?
Was that good?
Brilliant. Yeah. Sensational. And there's Ollie won Wally Lewis, and he's done a function at Doncaster Wakefield. He's up in Whitehaven Saturday, Keighley yesterday, and I'm led to believe he's signing, doing a bit of a shirt signing. Goes home tomorrow morning, but yeah, brilliant, you know. And there's only one Wally Lewis. We won't see another one in his lifetime. That is
for
sure.
£1,000 a game score. Were you on that kind of loop? Were you?
No. It was interesting because he told the story, which we all knew anyway, you know. But I say he was on £1,000 a game, and all the English lads were belting him and saying, you know, you Aussie so and so, you're being paid £1,000 a game. They were belting him, and when he got up and played the ball, he just said, "Yeah, it's £950 more than what you Englishmen are getting, isn't it?"
a great signing for Wakefield, which of course resulted in that season them being relegated.
But also as well, when you look, you know, we talk nowadays about we marquee players and what have you. When Wally made his debut, you know, and he, against Hull and Stirling was there, you know, he put the crowd was, I think, about 8,700 and something like that. That just shows you what the man was all about. But not just as a person himself, but boy, oh boy, as a rugby league player, there's been nobody better.
And he
nobody
better. Play for, was it England?
I under 24s, yeah. 24s. I played over at Oldham. I made my debut as a sub there. We beat France 48-1. I don't know where the drop door came from.
48-1. Do you want a title?
48-1. They must have got the drop goal for something. It was the watershed. We beat them 48-1. But I say the king. I say there's 8,700 from them. They played 10 games. They won 5 out of the 10. I think he got sent off at Leeds, didn't he?
Got sent off in his last game.
Yeah, got sent off in his last game. And then when Wally left, they never won a game. They never won another game. When he left, they got relegated. But no, he was sensational. He had the photographs with everybody. He signed until everybody got what they wanted. Brilliant. Absolute brilliant.
Just a word as well. Brett Kenny, how is he? Because obviously good. He's not so good, is he, health-wise?
No, he's good now, Mark. He's good. He joined us in Melbourne for 4 days. And he's had his last cancer treatment. That was around about 5 weeks ago now, his last cancer treatment. He's in remission. He just needs to go back every 6 months where he'll just obviously get an injection from there. But no, he's in good form, the kid. And I say,
he didn't put his hand in his pocket.
No,
did
he didn't. No. He never.
He must be feeling all right.
He's
tighter than you. He is, Brett Kenny.
It's a bit harsh, but no. Honestly, Matt, again, he never bought a drink. Yeah. He never bought a kebab. Never bought a burger. Never bought.
Went out for a night, and he brought £10 with him, and he went home with £10.50.
He's in good form. He paid for in Australia, but
is what.
How many drinks did you pay for in Australia?
Plenty. Get lost.
You wouldn't have stopped shaking if
plenty.
You
plenty. I didn't realise how expensive it was. It was £6 a pint as well, you know.
I heard a lot of complaints about the cost exchange rate. Living,
yeah. Yeah, it is. It's pretty expensive now. Yeah, because I say, when I was out there, 85, 86, 87 for a schooner, you know, it was about $2.70, and I was still expecting them sort of prices. But yeah. No, it was £6. £6 a pint, so instead of 2 gallons a day, it was only a gallon and a half.
It wasn't like when you went to Keighley on the slowest walk I've ever seen. And in fact, I reckon a man walking the plank would have walked faster than you that day. When you were going to the bar, you were looking around thinking, "Oh, you all right? Yeah, waving. Yeah, are you all right? Yeah, I'm just going to get, you know, begging for someone to buy you a drink." Yeah. You were begging.
But who paid for it? You haven't bought me one since. We've known each other now, I think, 4.5 years, have we? I haven't seen you go to the bar first.
No.
Exactly.
Just pay for you on the corporate days out of the golf and whatnot.
Oh,
you know.
Do me a favour.
Look at this. Not only did Wakefield get relegated in the Wally Lewis season, but Bradford Northern finished above Leeds. But who was the top try scorer that year in the Rugby League Championship? I'll give you a clue.
83-84.
He's in the studio with us now.
Phil Kaplan.
Yeah, that was my best season. knee bandaging.
Phil, what were you doing? Chipping over the top, interception, 40-20s. I've got 40-20s. I want them in them days, man. Chipping over the top and that vision and awareness.
How many of those 38 were interceptions?
Maybe 6, 7, 8, maybe.
The sin bin was introduced that year. Is that right? That's what it says on there.
Was it?
Yeah. When did you first get sin bin, legend?
1983.
It should be maybe 384.
16 minutes into game one.
Did you get
back chat? Schofield descent.
Yeah.
Did you get a runners-up medal for finishing second in the championship?
No. No.
So near again, guys.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So near. So many, so many runs up.
Beaten by OKR.
It's all right. Stop rubbing
it in. Did they beat you, OKR? Did they beat you? You lost to them by a point.
I think we beat him. I don't know if we beat him in the Regal Trophy. There was them days of John Player, yeah, or the Regal Trophy, yeah. But we had some tussles, yeah.
Did you play in the Yorkshire Cup final that year as well?
Yeah. We beat Cass 10-2. I think we beat Cass
13-2.
13-2. It was a boring game. It was silent down and whatever. It was a boring game.
No chipping over the top. It was a boring game.
Patrick Salah was my winger from France, and he hated me because I would never pass the ball.
You're like John Bates.
Well, John Bates.
John Bateman could defend and I couldn't. Yeah. He didn't pass and he didn't tackle. Yeah, correct. I just scored tries.
John Bateman watching videos, that's what Phil Larder
said about me. He said, I can't understand why everybody gets excited with that young Schofield. All he does is score tries. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Stop as if you've heard that one before.
Yeah, exactly.
So the Leeds Rhinos, you may remember them. The champions again. Anthony says, he asked this about 2 hours ago, in fairness. How do you think Leeds will do without Maguire and Burrow and now the new signings? Schofield, what do you think? That's what he said.
Schofield, all right. Yeah. Not Gary or Scoey or the Ledger, but it all depends on the halfback partnership. You know, I don't know if Lily's going to start, but Joel Moon, I'm led to believe he's been given the sixth jersey for Lazzy. So it's obviously it's going to be Myler and Moon. So Myler's not an organiser, he's a support player, so Joel Moon. Is he going to be given the responsibility of getting around the field and the organisation point of view from there? Important factor again, the kicking game from Myler. Is it as good as what certainly Maguire's what from there? So it all depends of how they identify the roles. The forwards will be all right, the outside backs, there's plenty of pace from there.
You walk. It's huge. This Nathaniel Pettirou, 6'7".
We'll give him time anyway. But the big problem is for Leeds is the halfbacks from there and how they're going to gel. You know, the fullback. I tell you what, I'm looking forward to the competition at the fullback with the Leeds. We've asked of Golden and certainly young Jack Walker. But as we know, with the wingers and the centres, plenty of pace out there. So, but the important factor is the halfbacks and what sort of role they're going to play.
You think Saints, Warrington?
Saints are my team.
Do you think they're going to have a backlash for having so many players in the World Cup?
No, I don't think so. To be honest with you, they'll get plenty of time off. They'll get plenty of time until the new year. Well, the players.
The Irish players are in the English ones. You're on the 18th of December.
Yeah, they've been on for 4 weeks, haven't they? You know what I mean? So that's not a problem from there. So, but St. Helens for mine is they're going to be the team. And I'm hoping Holbrook as well, that Richardson, he makes him the number one player from there because... Matty Smith's too slow. No, he's not for me. He's had his day as Matty Smith. Richardson, me, I reckon, and I'm going to say it here now, I reckon Richardson is a big shout for the Man of Steel next year.
Mm. This is Saints will win the treble because he's got to start with somebody.
Richard, yeah, he normally has 11 guesses.
A week in, it'll be Warrington.
Normally has 11
2
guesses.
Weeks in, it'll be Richardson.
Have a look at the price there, Richard Shaw, right? Me, Richardson, if he's playing week in and week out, I think he's real, real quality. He's a shout for Man of Steel for me.
I think Holbrook gained a lot of fans during the World Cup because he came across very well on the telly.
He did.
So, get him on board.
Hmm.
I don't know if the Man of Steel odds will be up yet because it's a bit too...
It's a bit early. Gone early there, Scott.
I've just made my prediction from there. When we're looking at Warrington as well, what about Steve Price? What sort of noise is he making or what sort of philosophy is he looking to play? Do we know?
Keeping a very low profile. I think Andrew Henderson being there is important.
Right.
Because he's got experience, obviously, English conditions and... I don't know. It will be the usual that this will be Warrington's year, and with the quality of play that they've got in their squad, there's no reason why it shouldn't be. But they'll need to get off to a good start.
I thought of our competition sponsors because they have priced at the Man of Steel. He's not in the betting.
He's not in the betting, Richardson.
Request a price, but Ben Barber favourite 8-1, Luke Gale 10s. Robbie and Williams 12s, Sneed, Wormsley, Curry, Parcell, Roberts 16-1, 20-1 bar.
Interesting stuff indeed. Anything else happening on the social media?
Plenty of people, a bit harsh from Darren. Only chip Scoey knows is kebab and chips.
Fair enough, Darren. Fair enough.
Welcome back.
Is he a family friend, Darren? Must be a family friend.
Ian says, I hope not the curse Gary Schofield saying Saints, because he's a Saints fan.
Yeah, we just paid him to say that.
Listen, fans, don't be blaming me. If I'm predicting that you're going to win or predicting that you're going to lose,
who's
don't be blaming
finish,
me.
Who's going to finish bottom? Salford? Yeah, or Widnes? Yeah, who've lost one of their new signings already? He's gone home.
Who?
Will Matthews.
He's gone home.
Why? I don't know. Can't handle it.
I just said, I think it's a compassionate ground, so yeah, maybe homesick. I don't know. I don't know what his situation was.
The betting is very close, it has to be said, for the Super League title. Six teams, all with a couple of points, splitting them in terms of the betting. Cast the favourites, best price 9-2, Wigan, Saints, Hull, Leeds, and Warrington. So people obviously saying, whatever happened to Warrington last year will not happen again this year. And then a big jump to Huddersfield, Wakefield, and the rest.
I think also Wigan as well. Wigan's going to be like Leeds. Who's going to play their halfbacks? And I think the noise is high that Tompkins is going to partner Williams at the halfbacks from there. Yeah, so that's going to be another big,
Wigan
another big decision for Wigan
after Dan Sargentson coming on.
Yeah, I've read that as well. Yeah, you know,
although Anthony Gelling's back in New Zealand, so you wonder if that's cover for a scenario that perhaps he doesn't come back.
It's quite interesting, isn't it? The two players that we thought might make it in the NRL, Wardell didn't make it and Sargentson didn't make it. It's quite surprising. But backs don't seem to make it in the NRL, do they? You know, the ones who have gone out recently.
Well, even Hardacre, you know, wasn't offered another deal when he played all right at Penrith.
This is, you know, why our outside backs fell are suffering a little bit. They want our backs over there to be used as battering rams, you know, where Sardis and this sort of eat into Wardle, you know, they like to go 40, 50 yards running, being put into space, want to be used as battering rams.
I think the Aussies played some lovely rugby amongst their three quarters. Dugan is an absolute quality centre. Holmes was a revelation on the wing. And I think we stereotype the Australian game too much.
Oh, yeah, we do, yeah.
Even the Kiwis, Fussy Tour is a wonderful winger.
Phil, to be honest with you, some of them tries. Valentine's home scored, no disrespect, but you could have scored some.
No, I couldn't. No,
you could have scored some of them, Phil. You could. Even Mark Wilson could have got a couple.
You must have been impressed with his awareness, though. Yeah. I mean, a couple of times he came looking for it,
but, you know, you could have scored some of them, and the same Mark Wilson could have got a couple.
But that,
of them.
Again, is partly down to having such a quality centre inside him.
Yeah, inside him. And, you know, and the halfbacks.
Who wasn't a centre, he was a fullback.
But also, as well, the halfbacks making the decision very, very quickly to get the ball out there quicker. You know, and we don't do that.
What did you think of the Tongan halfbacks? Because without keep going back to them, they were the revelation of the tournament. Mm. And if anything has come out of this, it's maybe that Fiji and Tonga now are edging nearer to Tier 1 nation. But they are two really young kids. Ngannou hasn't played for the New Zealand Warriors yet, and Lolahia was released by them and hasn't yet made it at West. What did you reckon to them?
But the one who certainly was my one for is Mitchell Moses. The Lebanon there is a Parramatta now. He's a halfback who's got a huge future. The Tongan halfbacks are pretty happy with them, but again, as I keep harping on, they're allowed to express themselves and play with that bit of vision and awareness and play off the cuff a touch. But Mitchell Moses, is he going to be a sensation? And you would well imagine, you know, Mal Meninga's already said that he's certainly ready to wear an Australian jersey, so there's plenty of competition from there. Young Nathan Cleary as well at Penrith. Fittler's already talking about these two maybe being the new halfback partnership for New South Wales.
Is Cleary an Aussie or a Kiwi?
I think he's an Aussie, isn't he?
That's interchangeable.
But anyway, Fittler's all about playing him for the New South Wales, so, yeah, plenty of quality. But that Mitchell Moses.
But you can play for New South Wales and Queensland now and not necessarily give up the right to play for your country of choice. So it would be great if Mitchell Moses could be the driving force behind Lebanon.
I agree.
I mean, they've now qualified for the next World Cup already by getting to the quarterfinals. It'd be really good if we could find enough fixtures for Lebanon that were meaningful, that he could play his international rugby for the green, red and white and play State of Origin if he wanted for New South Wales. That would be perfect.
Jim, I guess, has hit on that early. He said, to keep the feel-good factor of the World Cup going with the emergence of the Pacific Islands, would you cancel the Great Britain Tour and have an eight-nation tournament, two groups of four, winners of each in the final, which I guess gives more games to the Lebanon, Samoa.
There was talk of a Confederations Cup, but we talk about a lot of things and implement very few.
When's the World Nines on? Or whatever it is.
Slightly before the Kangaroo Tour that hasn't been announced
and
yet.
The Emerging Nations World Cup next year as
that's
well.
Happening but we did have the South American Championship.
Was it Chile one?
Chile one, yes. Gone up in the world rankings as well to 32.
Go on there, lads.
Go on, Chile.
Let's support our team in South America. Go on, Brazil.
Chile. Who are you having, Scully? You'd be an Argentina man, you, won't you?
He'd go anywhere for a coaching job.
I like chilli. Chilli and kebabs. I love chilli. Extra hot, please.
This is our cultural challenge to the world, isn't it?
Hey?
Oh, dear. Hey? Dearie me.
Elsewhere, involving many various different things, Stephen asked, what do the lads think of Wakefield's recruitment with Justin Horrow, Jordan Baldwinson and Paulie Pauly?
Steady away, I think. Yeah, adding to what they've got, aren't they?
More importantly, they're not a selling club.
Yeah.
No, they're not getting rid of the players that were the star men last year. They're adding to them. So Tyler Randall's going to be key, I think, for Wakefield. Come over, he's had a taste of it. He's had a full pre-season. If he settles into the kind of role that Parcell did at Leeds, then that's where Wakefield are going to
fall. Wakefield.
I was just going to say, Wakefield, if they play with the same sort of attitude and the attitude of, you know, they're enjoying what they're doing, Phil, and enjoying each of us company with that smile on their face, Wakefield are going to be there and thereabouts.
They're going to be hunted, though. I mean,
how they cope with that will be really interesting. Because now the opposition teams are going to take it quite seriously because they are a good side.
But the great thing for Wakefield as well is they've got Tom Johnson to come back into the mix. So they've got a star back and a forward who they only saw a small glimpse of. So I think they'll be all right in terms of the squad. It's just that other clubs will have the tip sheet out and it'll be a lot longer than it was last season.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about Jake Mamo admits he's yet to decide on his Huddersfield future?
Did John Davis say he was off back to... He's tweeted a team he was off to last night. I'll find the tweet rather than...
I was reading that myself and I was thinking, he doesn't seem keen, does he?
No.
Doesn't seem keen. One,
I mean, he's
bit.
Saying beyond the end of the year. He's under contract this year, but...
But reading into
given
it,
how hard they worked to get him there, you know, Rick Stone was more than patient.
When he missed half the season.
When you're reading that article about you're thinking, he's...
That's almost... come on, lads.
The way I read it, we're like, hold on here. I'm supposed to start training next week, but I might not come back. That's the attitude. That's how it reads, isn't it?
Interesting one, that. Yeah.
And again, I think that goes down to the disparity in salary cap here and there, that if his contract is coming to an end in Super League, he's just fishing for... won three times as much in the NRL.
Yeah, but also as well, though, what did he play for the Giants last year? 10 games when he scored, what a try. But then also, he was injured for three quarters of the season, so, you know, he's got to...
Says he's happy with the Giants. We must stress that. But
he's still got to put himself in the shot, wouldn't
he? Going back to Jermaine McGilvery, do you think he'll stay at Huddersfield? I mean, they're making the right noises. He's contracted. He's not said anything. But the way he's played, do you think an Australian club will come in for him? Or maybe even a Super League club would make him a marquee player?
Well, you know what? I think Jermaine's just totally happy at Huddersfield. I do.
He's got a young family. His boy is on the books at Man City. He's going to take a monumental
offer. But he's got
offer.
One last major contract in him, hasn't he?
Said it.
So if a Wigan or a Warrington or a St Helens came in...
I would imagine if he's going to leave Huddersfield, it won't be to the NRL. He'll stay over here, you know, so...
I would say now he won't leave Huddersfield. I think he's very loyal.
He's very happy. Yeah, he's very happy.
I think it'd take a bank buster to go... Obviously.
And Josh Charnley interest has cooled, apparently. Interesting.
Why was he supposed to go?
Warrington.
Is he? Is he fed up with rugby union or has he had enough, has he? Well, we said within 12 months he'll be back, didn't he?
Well, he's got nowhere near the England squad, has he?
No.
Apparently he got a pass. That was the entire season.
Did he?
Yeah.
He said, I can't remember what I'm supposed to do now. Kick or clap, what do I do? Lads, oh, too late. Tackled.
Well, I should say, well done to Wakefield for A, having an away kit which isn't the same colour as their home kit. Well done for that. And B, it's got Wakefield Hospice as the sponsor.
Yes, well
good.
Done.
Good for Wakefield there.
Well done.
Looking forward to that because the home kit's great as well. Lots of people asking us about what's happening with Zach Hardacre. We don't know. We know what's happening with Rangi Chase, obviously.
Well, it took, what,
no,
nearly
Chase
five...
has got 2 years,
exactly.
Hasn't it?
Did it take about 5 months for Chase's case to be...
I am under the impression Zach's case is going to be heard very soon.
Yeah. But there is a gap and there's nothing to say until that case is heard and he either pleads
and
guilty.
And the ban is obviously, or should he get a ban, would be backdated. Yes. So it's not like he's waiting and he'll still have to serve his ban on top. It will all be...
It is on how Walker and Chase were caught on the same day, but only one has been banned so far, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Unless the other one...
I had a chap stop me in the pub the other day and said about that. He said, what are the odds on those two players getting caught on the same day?
You wouldn't believe it.
What were
conspiracy?
What was the noise like over here when the three Scottish players got sent home?
lack of
disappointment.
Surprise.
Disappointment for Brough that is that having worked so hard for Scotland and put so much into it,
correct,
that he ends in disgrace. And he has ended in disgrace.
Well, absolutely, and also as well, the fact is, you know, they still had an opportunity of qualifying for the quarterfinals.
This
is what I could not understand.
Yeah,
hey? I felt sorry for Steve McCormack. Not sorry because I think Steve handled it with absolute dignity.
He had no choice, did he?
I just felt
I respect the way that they did it.
Absolutely.
I respect the fact that they did it.
And they were going into a game
effort
that could have got them into the quarterfinals.
I agree.
You know.
But as I say, with Brophy being the captain and whatever, and as I say, it's... And it's all right after the event, you know, apologising and all this sort of thing, but he just shouldn't do it in the first place.
Everyone makes mistakes. We all know that, mate.
Yeah.
I think it's just a disappointment for him. Probably one person who's given more than most to the international game
absolutely.
And then throws his last game out of the window.
Talking
whether he will play again into the year, we don't know. But
worth saying that every club now is doing some fantastic work at this time of year with various charities.
Yes.
And we should point out that... they're all going into hospitals to see sick kids. They're going to hospices. They're giving out presents. And it's every club, and it's clubs in the Championship and Super League. And one of the things we do really, really well as a sport is engage with our community and the disadvantaged with our community. So hats off to every single rugby league club at the moment. They're doing some brilliant work.
Well said, Phil. Well said, mate.
When are we having our Christmas do?
Yeah, sorry?
When are we having our Christmas do?
Did you not get the email? We had it last week.
Well, did you?
Yeah, when were you back? Wednesday. I think we had it Tuesday. I think we waved it, actually. I think your taxi came past. We waved it.
We went,
yeah, we waved it. We're waiting whether charges will be pressed against Phil, but hopefully not.
We put the tab on your account. Anyway,
did you?
So. Yeah, we did. Okay. Yeah, so we had one drink and went home. That's all it was, wasn't it?
The three straws.
Yeah, that's it. Any more for any more? We've got 4 minutes left. Another 2 hours flies by.
Andy's questioning what the assistant coach would tell Wayne Bennett because of their records at club level, but without naming names, you can work them out for yourself.
Paul Anderson was linked with the Bulls job quite strongly as well.
Well, he might get it tomorrow.
We'll be there.
Again, Bradford only targeting people with a certain hairstyle.
Hey, I could be in for the job, Scully.
You could be assistant.
Assistant
I
coach.
Could be his assistant.
You could be
give
assistant.
It a year, I'll be able to be the coach.
Hey, you may not be the water boy, you'll be the sluice water boy like Martin Clausen.
Like Clogger. I'm quicker than Clogger.
I tell you what, it won't be a bad race, that. Won't be a bad race over 100 yards, that.
100 yards?
100 yards. It might be about 15
we'll get
minutes.
A taxi from halfway.
I'm going to say it would be about 15 minutes and 26 seconds.
How disappointed were you not to be able to do your naked run? We were incredibly grateful. The upside of England losing, if there was one, was we didn't even have to hear.
Take
your dressing gown to the final.
Did you ever feel in any danger?
No.
No, didn't you?
No. Not one bit.
Disappointing.
Not one bit.
Disappointing.
No, not one bit.
Did you ever disgrace yourself on tour?
No. Very.
That you can remember.
Very professional.
He says you talking to now. The listeners aren't buying this.
Very, very.
How did you get back in the country?
Very respectful. Listen, let's not forget I was the ambassador, so
ambassador.
I had a role to play.
Ambassador.
Talking of which,
you were banned.
What was that like? Just leading the team out at the opening ceremony.
Oh, yeah, the opening ceremony. You know, goosebumps there. Yeah, we were brilliant. You know, and. The role of the England fans and all that sort of thing. And, yeah, it was just... You can't put it into words, Phil. You know what I mean? To experience it, and I say, and certainly singing the national anthem, you know, and then when the both teams come out from there, yeah, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And obviously, to see me... Jonathan came out for the four nights and whatever, you know, he wanted to be part of it from there. But, yeah, brilliant. Yeah, and really, really... really wanted to do it, yeah.
Just disappointed you didn't wear the Radio Yorkshire T-shirt.
Yeah.
I haven't got one, that's why.
We don't make them that big.
Steve, the Mushy Peas thing, you made it. There was
oh,
a
yeah, yeah, the
Leeds
fans
yeah.
brought the year, brought
hey,
the Mushy Peas.
Yes,
yeah.
What did you make of that? Of course, scenes here.
What do you mean, course?
We couldn't believe it. We saw the Mushy Peas, so we thought someone had, like, adopted the
yeah,
photograph.
Yeah, the Leeds fans who took it out, yeah, they showed me. Yeah, it's pretty good, wasn't it? Yeah. I tell you what, listen, honestly, Mushy Peas on Toast is one of the best meals you've ever had.
Bachelors have been in touch, you know.
Yeah,
they have been in touch.
Have they, honestly. But it must be Coleman's mint sauce, not this rubbish homemade rubbish. You know what I mean?
Rick, interestingly, said Anderson turned down the Bradford job. We'll see.
We will see.
We will see tomorrow.
We'll see.
Podcast will be available. Honestly, record numbers last week. Please, please, please share it with your friends and let everyone know we are here. We'll be back next week as well. No rest for the wicked.
Last one before Christmas.
Yeah, although we are working on our Christmas special, which will include lots of SCOE bloopers.
And apparently a special treat on Christmas Day, just before the Queen as well.
All right, stay tuned for that one. Phil, thanks ever. Magazine out
this week? Yes, out this week.
Very good. Legend, it's been a pleasure.
Pleasure to be back,
the
boys.
The last 6 weeks, and it's over now, but never mind.
All good things.
Pleasure to be back, boys. Pleasure to be back.
Make sure you work on your fitness down at Moorish Cafe or wherever you go tomorrow and bring us a bacon sandwich back. Rich, thanks as ever. Thanks to you, the listeners, for getting in touch. The show wouldn't be the same without you. We look forward to seeing you again next week.